last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Calling Jim McClure again.
Yeah.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah.
The fact that I had a wet spot on my pants is what actually made Dennis Miller talk to me even longer. At no time did I say to him, I'm thinking of...
That's true, you didn't.
And you just have to delete that out again?
Yeah, no, it's okay to say this time. Of course I had to delete it.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Every weekday from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C., broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
Oh, that's right.
But turn your radio down.
That's
right. Don't do what you do call.
That's right.
Don't call to play the name game.
That's right.
Don't call to rate women.
That's right.
Don't ask when they're coming to your town.
That's right.
And don't call telling jokes.
Oh, dear God. Paging Dr. Homo. Paging Dr. Homo. We need you in the air studio. That's
Don and Mike Show. You can get it.
That's right.
Move to your left. Move to your right.
That's right.
Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find.
Oh, really? Call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
That's right.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
That's right.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
That's right.
Can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be than introducing the man.
The man.
Sperm God.
Oh, what?
Oh, my pappy.
Oh, okay.
Sperm God, Jizzmeister. Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Well, you know Phil's just all giddy.
Oh, why?
Well, he's excited. His wish finally came true. A primetime sitcom with a gay John Goodman.
Yay!
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Inferno and all the ships at sea. Hey, don't bum on their cases while listening. It's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, gotcha. Yeah. Thank you, Robbie. Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. New episode coming at you on Wednesday.
Wednesday. November 1st.
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. First day of the month, you gotta say it.
I always forget that.
Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh, 877-365-3636. What can I say except, this is the deal.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to our
world. Welcome to our world.
Won't you come on in?
This is the deal we made.
Miracles, I guess.
Everybody.
Still happen now and then.
Oh, what a haven this show is.
Step into my heart.
Step into my heart.
When things get a little hairy on the home front.
Leave your cares behind.
It's an oasis. That's all I can say.
Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world. And Mike, for you.
Oh, yes. Go with your mind.
You and mine.
I'm sorry.
You walked on it.
Well, you know, I don't do it as well as you do. That's
filled with
you and mine.
Boy, that's a very generous thing. I'm not used to you giving me the cue and I feel like I lost that opportunity today, you know?
It's my day, your day, my day, your day.
Filled with you and mine.
Okay, big show for you today, like we have every day. We'll be peppering it with your live telephone calls, of course.
Peppered.
Tomorrow and Friday, both days will be live from New York, from WNEW. Tomorrow afternoon, incidentally, we've moved up the toilet sitting.
Okay.
1.5 hour.
All right.
Because TV POA Bonnie Bernstein, who used to be mad at me for the longest time for calling her a whore.
Right.
Until we finally realized I only meant that in the nicest possible way that she's a TV whore. She's hot. She's a hot girl on TV.
She's going to come on the show?
Yeah, she's coming down to the studio tomorrow.
If you keep telling that story again, she may not come down to the
studio. No, she's past that. With it. Anyway, so she's coming down, but she can't come down till late in the show, so we're going to move up the street venue. So we'll be on the street at 888 7th Avenue.
It's going to be chilly.
In Midtown Manhattan, don't I know it.
Yes.
Tomorrow, 4:30 in the afternoon, New York time, I'll be down there on a toilet in an adult diaper. Now, we do need somebody to come up and paint my face.
A face painter? Somebody who can give you that fan look so you can put on the... are you putting the Mets colors or the Yankees colors?
The Mets colors is what we decided. You have to put
the
on
Mets colors are nicer.
Color of the losing team.
I mean, they're color there. I mean, there's, you know, there's not Yankees, it's the pinstripe.
The yellow and the blue. And Robbie, just in case nobody shows up, you better get some face paints.
Okay.
And also I need the XL Depends undergarment, which I'll be wearing tomorrow. No way I'm buying those.
No way.
No way. I'm not going to suffer that embarrassment.
There are lots of drugstores around the studio.
I got enough embarrassment just wearing the thing on the street for an hour. We'll be down on the street from about 4:30 till 5:30 tomorrow.
Somebody have to run by the Times Square CVS.
speaking of bets, and I lost a bet there.
Yep.
Which is why I have to sit on the toilet tomorrow in Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
You get anything worth saving there, Buzz?
No. Not this time.
It's very rare that you see a cultured man like Buzz actually pick his teeth.
Well, what do we enjoy for lunch today?
I had a little piece of peanut there lodged in my teeth.
Oh, enjoying some Halloween candy?
Yes. Thank you.
Is there a payday?
Uh-huh.
Was it a payday?
Yeah. Actually,
hey,
it was.
How about that, huh? I'm a super sleuth.
Oh, and last night, you know, really, I got to tell you, before I talk about another bet of ours that I want to try to clarify, last night... it didn't hit me until I got home how much I missed going out, not only with Bart, but with all the neighborhood kids to go trick-or-treating. Because last night I just had the job of just sitting by the front door with a big bowl of candy and watching as the little kids came up. And Bart and his friends who were hiding in the bushes outside would jump out in their scream outfits and scare the little kids. You know, I realized that, a real chapter in my life has closed. The boy has grown up, and he's past trick-or-treating.
That's right.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, and last night I became one of the pathetic people who sits by the front door with a bowl of candy, wondering if enough kids are going to show up.
Man. Who's going to come by tonight?
To eat all of the candy.
Maybe they're right.
And then once a bunch of kids did start to show up, what I did was, since we hadn't had a lot of action,
right,
I said to them, take as much as you like.
Right.
So kids were taking two or three handfuls of stuff.
And in your stuff, you're Mr. Full Size.
Full Size bar, nothing but.
I was at my sister-in-law's house last night. She is. She said, you know, ever since you talked about it, you know, I've gone to full size. I said, I can't take credit for that. That was Don's thing years ago. You did that whole spiel about full size, and then our whole family started going the full size. And you know what?
It's just like the pearls of wisdom I've given you. Tip your mailman.
Yes.
Tip your garbage man.
Well, I'm not going to do that after the guy called.
Halloween.
What guy called? You remember the recycling guy?
Right.
I mean, I'm not doing that. You know, it's one thing. I'll tip the garbage guy, but I'm not going to tip the recycling.
Well, tip them all, because it can make your life hell if you don't.
That's right.
And for goodness sakes, on Halloween, give away the full-size candy bar.
And who invented the fun size? Who decided that that was going to be called fun size? Because thank you, Rob.
Yes. Did he do the same thing?
He did the same thing.
Yeah, I beat you to it, Rob.
Fun size is not fun size.
I think we have a theory about who may have invented the fun size.
Fun size might be...
It ain't fun at all.
Fun size might be like the pounder, you know, like a pound of M&M's. That would be fun. It would be bigger than regular size. Fun is not bite size. Well, there's bite size, there's fun size.
Bite size and fun size are the same thing. What you're doing basically is getting one fifth of a candy bar.
Well, no. Bite size, fun size is the little mini Snickers bar. Bite size is the Snickers square. The little tiny Snickers square.
You know what, you're right, and that's even smaller
than bite size.
That's smaller than fun size.
There's there were a few.
Well, you know who invented that one?
There were absolutely. There were a few bite sizes in my daughter's bag, which bothers me. I mean, fun size is almost the standard. You have to accept it. That's what people give away. But bite size is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
At our house, we call them mel size.
Oh God!
They're not fun size or bite size, they're mel size.
Uh-huh.
So listen, obviously, Bart didn't go out trick-or-treating last night. His big thing was just to hide and to scare the kids. Mm-hmm. So as I was asking one of the moms up the street, who still has a bunch of little ones, what their haul was. Because for me, that was also a lot of fun, was Bart coming home with a pillowcase full of stuff. And basically, you're able to size up the neighbor. You're able to figure out who gives what and who gave out the crappy stuff.
And at at the good grace of your child, you know, immediately after the haul, the child is normally very generous and will,
my child.
Really? Well, when they get older, they're not. But the 5-year-olds, 3-year-olds will be very sweet, as mine were last night, and will walk up with, after they've gone through all their candy. If they know candy, even at that age, they bring up all the, you know, all the stuff that just doesn't look so good.
Now, Bart would actually, I guess last year was the last year he really went trick-or-treating. And last year was just a half-hearted effort because he went to a party. But in like the 3 or 4 years before, like from when he was 10 on, he would come home and actually make track of like of how many Reese's he had. Because, you know,
an inventory.
Yeah, because he didn't want me to take any of them.
But when he was little, you used to be able to get
them. When he was little, it wasn't that he gave them. It was that I just took them. And he didn't know the difference.
Well, I did too. I have to confess.
So some of the moms up the street I was talking, and we're trying to figure out who it is on the street this year that was giving out Chex Mix, and not giving out Chex Mix in the pre-sealed bags that you can buy, like to put in a kid's lunchbox.
Baggies.
And not even putting them in baggies. No just a handful.
Like a handful of Chex Mix.
The kids
the hell is that about?
The kids would reach into, apparently at this one house somewhere in our neighborhood, the mom or dad would come to the door and they'd have a giant bowl that was full of Chex Mix, and the kids could put their hands in and scoop out a handful of Chex Mix.
That's an anti-sugar household right there.
Yeah, right. That's weird.
That is weird.
That's weird. But I guess the point of it is I missed the whole experience. And you cut out early last night take your kids trick-or-treating.
I'd like to thank whoever the mook was that, I hope he's not dead, because I would be very insensitive. But there was some joker on the highway on the way home turned his car over upside down. And so I was sitting in about a 1-hour backup on the way home, and so I got there by the time.
So you left work.
Left early, so I get the tail end of trick or treating. My kids are very small; they go out early. I was going to join them halfway through. My youngest had already finished when I got home, and my oldest was out with her uncle and my nephew, and they were finishing their trick or treating. So I was just, but I realized as I'm rushing to get to my sister's house, my sister-in-law's house, that, you know, this is not the night where you accelerate on the back roads trying to get home. You crawl because there are kids all over the place. Right. But I got home to their house, at least, in time to see the hall and to see the loot and see them in their costumes. But I was a little ticked off because around here, this area now, it's just, forget it. I mean, forget getting anywhere, anytime, because it's just gridlock,
you go. The weirdest thing I heard is in one of these neighborhoods that we live close to, it's one of these neighborhoods that has the McMansions.
Yeah.
Okay, where they have these big houses and, like, way too much land.
Right.
So what the parents in these houses decided to do was they would back their cars up. The people who lived in these McMansions that are, like, miles apart.
Right.
You know, unlike us, Jesus. I mean, the guy next door to us, he gets up. He can see me taking a crap in the morning if he looks out the right window of his house. I mean, we're very close to the house next door to us.
He's lucky.
Damn right he's lucky, Buzz.
That is a thrill on any level.
And occasionally he sees me pick my teeth also. But I heard that one of the things that they did in one of these McMansion areas was that all of the parents would back their cars down to the end of the cul-de-sac area, and they would open up their trunks, and they would have candy in the trunk. So rather than have to walk up the mile-long driveway, each kid would simply go to the trunk of a car that was parked in the semicircle to get their candy.
Really?
Yeah. Now, you know, modern way to trick or treat.
I say that's weird, but then again, in my neighborhood, Halloween's not done. It's not done because I tried it for 2 years with my kids, and when I saw one of my neighbors hiding down in the bushes, because we went out very, very early 1 year, I decided that was it. Everybody does what I do, which is you find a friend or a relative, and you go somewhere else where...
And you bogart on that neighborhood.
Well, where I live, you know, it's very rural out there, and it's just not... I mean, there's so much space
spread
between houses that you can't do it, and people have decided that, you know, people with kids blew off Halloween a long time ago, And I remember the first year I moved into that neighborhood, I was sitting there going, this is going to be great, you know, because, I mean, you're out there, it's very rural. And on my fourth house, ringing the bell with no answer, I said, you know, F this. And that's when I started going to my sister-in-law's place where, you know, there are a lot more kids, a lot more neighbors, and, you know, it's a lot more fun.
So anyway, happy Halloween and blah, blah, that's done now. Robbie, a question for you about a bet Mike and I have about the Regis Millionaire Show,
right,
remaining in the ABC lineup,
right,
as a regular show past January.
It has to be on the ABC lineup, regular lineup, as of January 1st, 2000.
But what is the bet?
There was actually, I don't think the terms of that bet were ever discussed. I think it was just a standing bet.
Because I'm reading...
You know, we rarely do a bet without terms. Yeah. I bet we had some terms.
I feel that I would have jotted it down if there were
I don't remember
terms.
Consequences either.
Give it some thought, because I was reading today in the Post where they have the winners and losers of the ratings.
Yeah.
It says, losers, ABC, the overexposed game show sensation, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, is fading fast, leaving ABC dead last in the weekly ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Only two of last week's four millionaires made the top 10, and Thursday's edition barely qualified for the top 20.
So that's the first real solid bad news for that show.
Yeah,
so you,
shows it's tanking.
But you still think you're going to lose that bet.
Yeah,
right?
I told Mike off there, I think I'm going to lose that bet that Millionaire won't be off the air by the end of January. But if it keeps tanking, they might just yank it off.
That sounds like spin, because that's still three shows in the top 20, and networks should be happy with that show.
I would think so. And also,
that's an hour show. That's
Millionaire's
hours.
Twice in the top 10. That's not a show.
Good.
That's not a show that's going to. That usually is good for a year.
Yeah, you know,
but viewership's off 21%. It's down now.
But don't
on
you think that they've done that they're still going to keep it in the lineup for a long time? Because, I mean, they've got it, right?
I think they will, but they're used to that show pulling the entire network
right
up to the top of the heap. And this time ABC came in fourth, even with Millionaire.
It got beat by that queer show, Will and Grace.
Will and Grace is hot right now.
If that means anything. It got beat by Just Shoot Me.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you can't knock the power of David Spade.
Sure can. Okay. Hold on, we got a guy who thinks he remembers what the bet was. Hello, Don and Mike, what do you think the bet was?
Yeah, I think I remember it. It was whoever lost had to get their head shaved.
No way.
No way.
I swear to God.
No
it?
Way. I already did that with Charlie Stossel.
No, but I remember when you said you were going to do that, your son was going to be embarrassed that if you lost, you'd have your head shaved, and you're talking about that.
That was a year ago.
That was another bet, though.
No. That was the bet with Charlie Stossel about Titanic, and I did get my head shaved.
Yeah, but then you did the thing with the Regis thing. You'd get your head shaved. It was at the beginning of the... You said...
No, there's no... Listen, I want to tell you something. Getting my head shaved was the single most embarrassing bet that I've ever lost in my life. It goes past sitting on the toilet.
Really?
It goes past having dinner with Tom Gavin, it goes past.
Did you shave your beard too?
No, Stossel let me keep the beard.
Okay, that's right.
But I did.
I remember
shave,
that. But that was a painful bet to
I
pay off.
I shaved my head. There's no way that I would have.
We would have a much. I would think that we would have
that one out again.
A much more significant bet, you know, if it was a head shaving.
What?
Did you also have a bath with Stossel?
This guy's just trying to F with us.
Yeah, F you.
Okay, goodbye.
See ya.
Right, see ya.
And I'm worried about the other bet, you know? I mean, it's just
you should worry about
it. I read the political pages every day now, seeing what's going on. And it was great because I wore my Gore Lieberman T-shirt to work out today. And I got the greatest look I have ever gotten in my life. It was a nonverbal. It was this old guy that was sitting on a treadmill. He was talking, I guess, to his wife. And he was sitting, you know, one of these guys. You've seen these guys in gyms. He's sitting on the, you know how the treadmills have little handlebars on either side?
Sure.
He's sitting on one with his feet up on the other, and he's talking to his wife. You know, he's this rail thin guy, you know, that's in there. And he doesn't have like regular sneakers. He's got some kind of mountaineer, I'm an outdoorsman sneakers,
I hate
right?
Pricks like that.
And so the guy gets done, and he comes walking by me, and instead of saying, you know, busting my chops or something like that, he looks at the T-shirt, and then he just goes,
what, just makes a face like that, crinkles his nose at you?
Yeah, and so he's walking away, and I let him get maybe 15, 20 yards away, and I'm on the treadmill, and I said, nice look!
And it could have gone either way, either the look he was giving me or the look he was sporting, you know? It was like, but I mean, say something. I mean, I really thought, he looked at me, looked at the t-shirt, and then gave me that disgusting look.
Wednesday, I'm planning a grand celebration when my man wins. Mm. I'm going to bring G. Gordon Liddy in for the first break. We're going to have some confetti.
God help
us. We're going to be singing God Bless America next Wednesday.
I will be.
It's going to be
inconsolable if that happens.
A gigantic day on the show
next
Wednesday.
I will be inconsolable if you bring Liddy in here and
when GW wins.
Throwing confetti around. It's going to be...
I've already discussed it with him. Mm-hmm. We have a big victory party right here on Don and Mike's show.
It may happen.
Hello?
Don.
Yes?
The bet was dreidel dollars with Mike on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
How many?
I think it was 20.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Don.
Yes?
Yeah, when the bet the loser took Dennis Murphy to the Palm Restaurant.
See, everybody remembers this different. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, buddies. It was Dennis Murphy with the Palm.
Now, I'm taking Tom Gavin to the Palm if I lose the presidential bet.
But you know what? These guys might be right.
It was a Dennis Murphy thing, because you guys spent like 2 weeks determining the specific specs of defining when the show would be a bad show and all that stuff.
It might have been dinner with Dennis at the Palm, because the presidential bet came up later.
Mm-hmm.
And we did,
really?
And yeah. I mean, I brought up the millionaire bet long before I got on the Bush bandwagon.
All right, so the bet is it dinner?
I don't know if it's dinner. Hello, Don and Mike show. Now, here's somebody saying something else. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, we're great.
Okay, I remember exactly how the bet went. Y'all made the bet, you know, you got excited about it. It went on for a little while. And then y'all said you would discuss the terms of the bet at a later time, that you would think of something, and then you never really got back to it.
This is great about this show. We've had now six different guys, all of them convinced
absolutely.
That they have the right answer.
Yeah, I'm inclined to believe this guy,
me
though,
too.
Because if there
That's
were
right,
terms,
I didn't have it.
I would have written them down, I think, because I have the
Are
original
Are you meticulously
post-it.
Keeping records now?
Pretty As always. So I'm pretty good about
that. Don't you have post-it notes up on your bulletin
right
board upstairs?
Right in front of my desk. That's where they go and they sit. That's why I know, like, the George McFly bet.
Hello.
The date that he has to still be in whatever that city that is.
Don
what was that? What was that bet?
I
lost it.
Yeah, it's already over.
Oh, that George McFly would be out of Spokane.
That wasn't a big bet, though, was it?
No, that was funny. That was just the gentleman's bet.
Hello?
Yeah, the millionaire bet. The loser was supposed to play catch with Homo Joe.
Oh, come on. Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
The bet was dinner at the Palm with Murphy, and you had to be in the front table. You had to sit in the front table.
Well, that might be accurate.
That's what it was, sir.
Might be. All right. Thank you, sir.
Love the show.
Thank sir. You.
Dinner at
Thanks,
the
guys.
Palm with Murphy
in the front table. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, hello. I'm just backing everybody up. I'm certain it was Dennis Murphy at the Palm prominently displayed.
Okay. All right.
All
thank
right.
You.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we can go with that for the millionaire bet. All right. Not the Tom Gavin bet.
If I lose both bets, I'm going to put my head in an oven.
The Gavin bet, just so we know, because the election is next Tuesday, the Friday after the election, that you have to take Tom Gavin out to lunch. Now, did we say it was Capitol Hill, or did we think it just be a
no,
prominent
we said,
restaurant?
I think we said, it was not like the Palm, but it could be the Palm at Tyson's Corner.
Right, yeah, but and you had to bring a tape recorder to tape the entire lunch.
That's right. You know, I have a question about that, Pat.
Yeah?
Does he have to get this stuff, right? It could be a meeting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not picking him up.
No problem. I'm with you. No, right. No problem at all.
You ain't saying it. Glad that, what's that?
Off him!
Yeah, he has to get there himself.
Okay, now listen, on today's show...
Oh, my God.
A couple of things I want to get to early here. First of all, we want to call a guy who's got a great new invention. Oh, and also I've heard that maybe Melissa Stark from Monday Night Football would like to call in and offer her version of the chance meeting we had on the field on Monday night.
Oh, so, you know, things have all changed since the show was signed out in New York City.
Yes.
Because this stuff always gets back to us now.
Right? All I know is that Broyo came in the office and said the big PR guy from ABC called, and Melissa Stark would like to call in with her side.
No fallout from the Widow Allen, right?
No. Not,
thank goodness.
Not at all.
Just checking.
Not at all. So let me know if Melissa Stark calls in here today. We're going to try to get a hold of this guy for today's show, a guy who's got a new invention called a spank. A spank. A spank. A spank. For naked men to create a rip spanky or hockey sock like puppet.
Now, they're very angry deceased men who used to be a little rat.
Spankies are
place over a man's genitals during masturbation to keep his hands dry. And apparently there's a latest thing with our, no pun intended, semen all over the world. They recently sent 2,000 reusable sex stuff. And God, I would hope to watch it before you use it.
Wow.
They sent 2,000 things to a Northern California submarine bay. There, all the guys are loving them.
Well, wait a minute. Why military? Why the significance of the military? I mean, if you're keeping your hands dry, I mean, I would assume you have a towel or you have a paper towel.
I don't know.
Like in real life, why military men? All I know is that
we got the press release. A new invention called the Spanky is making it easier for Navy men to masturbate. Navy men. So we're going to try to have that guy on the trip. So we have letters like, dear Donna, my son is dying. Can you please do something? And we all get that off. The fact is, it's not the Jack Diamond show, not the Touch Cannon. We don't want to exploit somebody's first strategy for our
ratings, hey.
Right, and those letters are always very important, and with all we do, really take care of it. But I want to focus on this letter, so one paragraph.
Yeah, just a couple of sentences.
A brief letter to say thank you. I have cancer of the brain. I have 3 months left to live. Your radio show looks like lost everything. I think he called last week. Is that so?
Yeah, he called us last week.
That's really bad. Brain, you got it. I mean, didn't we get a call last week from a fellow? Claiming that
the leader of the spring camp, and we did get a call like.
What's the phone? They looked it up, Daniel Blanders really has brain cancer.
He should enjoy this time to its fullest.
But it was a very.
Hold on a second. I remember that from last week's show. We weren't sure. We were talking about how cynical we were, and we got the phone call, and we. You know, if it was true, he had some very nice things to say.
Yes, he did.
Oh, and I'm just reading. No, too bad. No, it's not signed to Ken Stevens.
Oh,
that would be great if it was Ken Stevens. No, he's got another name. The guy's name is Tom.
Oh.
I guess if he's got brain cancer, he should just be sitting around listening to the show, right?
I would think so. Let's find out what we can do for him, what he wants. We can make, hello?
Hello, is this Tom?
It's a tone.
Hey, Tom, buddy, are you there?
Tom, Tom Mike from the Don and Mike Show. We
wanted to find out if you were the fellow that called us last week. And if not, do you really have brain cancer? Because we just received a very short 3-sentence letter that we received from you.
Wanted to touch base with you, see if we could do something for you.
I also want to find out, you know, just how long you have left so that we can change our audience rankings.
It's always important.
I mean, you know, we're precariously close to that 6 million mark.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
Tom will appreciate that.
One on either side, it makes a lot of difference.
Absolutely.
I'd like to know, Tom, got your letter. Please call us back. Godspeed.
Bye, Tom.
Don't know how to react to a letter like that.
Well, you know, it's sad that we get so many dupe letters and dupe calls that you never know what is on the level and what's not.
I mean,
but I do remember that letter coincides with the phone call we got last week, and I think that was legit.
When we get the real letters, it's normally from a parent or from a friend or somebody. Say, is there anything you can do? And those we're always glad to help. But this guy doesn't even ask for anything. Just, dear Donna, Mike, love your show. I have 3 months left to live.
Yeah, it's
thank you.
Yeah, and if he's enjoying the show, I hope so.
All right. Well, anyway, like to talk to him. I'd like to get the perspective of a guy who's got 3 months to live, and I would say respectfully, while that's a great compliment that he enjoys our show, you know, if you've got 3 months to live, man, get out and do something besides listen to a goddamn radio show.
Absolutely. Well, you know, in a lot of cases, that's, you never know when you got that kind of an ailment. I mean, that might be what he can do. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're that infirmed, you might not be getting around all that well. So who knows? But I mean, it's a strange letter. It really is.
It is. And also today, somebody told me about a website that I should go to called thespark.com.
The Spark?
Yeah, T-H-E-S-P-A-R-K. Because apparently they had a contest. You know, everybody's got a contest now. Everybody's trying to do something like Survivor.
Okay.
So what they did on thespark.com was they took two people and they had them live in an apartment for 30 days.
All right.
Which reminds me, every time I go to .com guy, he's not there. I can't log on his site anymore.
Hmm.
The guy that I used to love watching just sit around and stuff, and they were
he had all sorts of problems with his
legal problems.
His webmaster.
They were gonna pull his plug.
I always love that name too. The webmaster. I picture it's a guy with like a big Merlin hat on.
They were gonna pull his plug because he hadn't paid his internet bills.
Mm-hmm.
So for 30 days, they had these two people living in an apartment, and the goal was to win the paltry sum of $3,000.
Wow.
To see who could gain 30 pounds in 30 days.
That is fantastic.
A guy and a girl.
That's fantastic.
And apparently the contest just ended. It must have just ended yesterday because the guy won. And on the last day of the contest, the girl was, I think, 4 pounds behind.
Well, now, were they uniform height and weight when they started?
I don't know enough about it to tell you.
Because physiologically, it would be in no way fair if the guy was bigger. It would be easier for the guy to gain more weight.
I don't know. All I know is that the last day, the woman ate like a Big Mac and a pizza and a cheesecake and bags of chips.
Right.
And still she came up on the short end of the stick.
That's a shame, but I bet she... Well, so now she's going to be like 28 pounds heavier with nothing to show for
it. But listen, even the guy who won for $3,000... You really want to gain 30 pounds in a month and have to live in a room and live on the web?
Well, I mean, if you were confident, you could take it right back off. I mean, $3,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah,
I wish I would have known about this before the contest ended. Buzz, did you pull the site up?
Yeah, it's starting right now. The page is loading slowly, but it's here.
Oh, it's always loading slowly. Uh-huh. Always. God
here
damn
it is.
These computers. Oh, you got it, Buzzy?
Ask Jesus. Pimpin' Cupid. The Fat Project. Here it is.
Okay, click on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that's that same website that kept trying to get pub from us about... Remember when they kept sending us letters saying, Jesus is listening to the Don and Mike show?
That might be it.
Go to Jesus.com.
You said it was some kind of scam.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I do recognize the name.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
I just want to... I've been following this Spark thing for about the whole month now, and it's actually kind of a neat contest. The girl actually was doing the best, and the guy was fluctuating up and down the whole time, and he actually ended up winning, and like you said, she just missed it. But they, you should have seen, if you go through the website and see each day, they had some pretty gross stuff that they had to meet. But they didn't have to stay in the apartment. They could do whatever
they
wanted.
Wait, you said they had gross stuff they had to eat?
Yeah, like they wanted to fatten them up so they would just eat disgusting stuff. You'll see, like on the last day, for the guy to be put over the top, he sat down and drank a gallon of water just in water weight so he could... So he could clear the scales. But some of it was a little suspect. Like at the beginning, before they started, they all fasted for, I think, 2 days. So the first day that they ate, he gained like 9 pounds in the first day.
All right, hold on. I got another guy here who says he's been following this on the web. How come all you people have been following this and nobody's told us about it?
Come on now. Do your job.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I've been following since it started, but only because they give away free Cliff Notes on the site. I'm a college student.
They give away free Cliff Notes, so it's this site is tailored to the college student?
Oh, yeah. Well, they give away all sorts of stuff.
That's hysterical.
All right.
But that what they amazing. Did for this contest is they found two average people, a guy and a girl, gave them the $3,000 to do this, and they were looking for average people. They weren't looking for somebody, like, skinny as hell or somebody who was incredibly fat.
Although the girl had, in the beginning, less than 10% body fat. That's pretty slim.
Oh, my God. That's a small amount, man. That's a phenomenally small amount of body fat.
Every day of them in their underwear.
Right.
So you can do, like, a time-lapse thing. And she's looking, you know, just about average at the beginning. I mean, there's pictures of them in their drawers every day of the contest.
I'm hearing 10% body fat and average. 10% body fat is not average by like 5%.
Isn't that like Ally McThrowup?
Isn't
that like 10%?
15% body fat is an incredibly lean person.
Yeah, 15
well,
is very low. The average
picture,
is about 20.
Right.
Average.
All right, well, I just wish someone would have told us about this sooner.
Rob and I are 50.
I would have liked following. Thank you, though, and I'm glad to hear about the Cliff Notes. Oh, that reminds me. Oh, what, Robbie?
I also know that 32% body fat is morbidly obese. I don't tell you why I know. I just know.
About Cliff Notes, it reminds me. We were watching today on the dish.
Right.
Freddie and I were watching the movie What's the name? American Psycho?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, American Psycho.
All right, and we hadn't seen it when he was in the theater.
I didn't see it either.
And one of the fake names that this guy's using, this guy who loves killing people, is Cliff Huxtable. He's being interviewed by a detective, and he says,
"You know, I'm going to come in there and strangle you when you're not knowing what's going on now."
He says, "Listen, I wish I had more time, but I have a lunch with Cliff Huxtable."
Cliff Huxtable.
And the movie American Psycho was interesting and all, and please, don't get pissed at me, because I'm not giving away the ending like with Pay It Forward or The Sixth Sense, because...
Would this be an opportunity for people to turn down the radio?
No, well, who cares? Nobody went to see American Psycho.
American Psycho, starring Bill Cosby.
It's on pay-per-view now, and I guess it'll be in Blockbuster. And maybe I am just an idiot. I know I've been told that on many, many occasions. I was told that many times the last 24 hours by my wife that I'm an idiot. But I didn't get the end of it.
Okay.
I didn't get the end of the movie.
Does the killer get caught at
the end? No, no. Here's what happens. The guy, the American Psycho, he kills people all the time. Like, he invites people up to his apartment.
That's because he's a psycho.
Yeah, and he puts on a raincoat.
Right.
And he puts newspaper on the floor. And then he chops guys' heads off with axes and stuff.
Wow.
And eventually, one day, he goes on a killing spree. And he's walking down the street, and he shoots an old lady. And he shoots a couple of cops. And he shoots attendants at buildings in New York. And they're chasing him. And he goes into his office. And he calls his lawyer. And he says, I can't stop it. I've killed 20, I don't know, maybe 40 people. I've killed whores. I've killed my best friend. I've killed all these people. I just want you to know because you're my lawyer. Then the next day, the guy goes to a bar because at this point, he's flipping out. He's killed all these people.
So they didn't catch him then?
No, they didn't catch him. He goes to a bar the next day, and he says to the guy, he says to his lawyer, "Did you get my message?" And the lawyer says, "Oh, I did. And that's a funny joke. That's funny that you killed all those people. Man, that's funny." And as it turns out, I don't know how to...
So the lawyer doesn't believe him.
I explain this correctly. The lawyer thinks that the American Psycho thinks his name is Paul Bushnell or something like that.
Right.
But as it turns out, the American Psycho's name is like Bill Davis or something like that.
Bill Davis.
Or not the guy from
Davis DJs?
Not the guy. Or the guy of... Who was the guy from My Dream of Jeannie? Major
Bill
Healy.
Bill Daly.
Bill Daly.
Bill Davis, also a playwright in New York, Mass Appeal.
I'm doing an awful job of explaining this, but at the end of the movie, the guy confesses he's killed all these people. He goes to his lawyer, and his lawyer says, "Well, it's impossible you've killed all these people." And his lawyer tells him he's not the guy. Meaning that, like, if you, Mike O'Mara, think that you killed 40 people,
right,
you called Donnie from our agent,
right,
and then you went to see Donnie.
I've made that call.
So you go to see Don Ephraim, and Don Ephraim says, "Hey, you're not Mike O'Mara. You're Buck Burbank." And the guy is screaming at his lawyer, saying, "No, I'm not. That
I'm the guy.
I'm the guy." And the lawyer says, "No, you're somebody else entirely." So he walks away from the lawyer. He sits back down at the back of the press. And his friends go back to calling him the name that he thinks he is. And then the movie ends with a close-up of the guy's face.
Well, then, did you come into this movie
nope,
at the very beginning?
Beginning to end.
Well, what it is that he probably created an alias that he pawned the murders off on, and the alias was the guy that the cops and the lawyer thought, and his real name...
No, the name for the lawyer. No, he used his real name for the lawyer. He used what he thought his real name was. I mean, listen.
I have to watch this movie.
It's too confusing, and not enough people saw this, but I'm just telling you, I'm sitting at the end of the scratching my head going, am I an idiot? Hello,
Who plays the American Psycho?
I don't know.
Is it that slicky boy that was in Wall Street?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hello?
Nah, you're not an idiot, Don.
Why?
All right, this is what happened. Okay, you know the guy at the end, he's denying that, he's insisting that the guy, he killed all these people.
Right.
But it's just as important to his lawyer, because his lawyer had just as bad of a crime to hide. So it was important to the lawyer to make sure this guy believed that the other guy was still alive.
So is the lawyer the guy who killed Paul Allen?
it could be they never disclosed it in the movie, but he had just as large as a secret to hide as the American Psycho guy.
Why did the lawyer have a secret to hide?
We never. It's like a Pulp Fiction thing. You never know. You never know what's in that box.
Oh, it's a goddamn confusing.
I didn't see it, but how's this for a theory? A defense lawyer doesn't want to know if you did it. Your defense lawyer doesn't.
No.
It's not that.
No, Buzz.
Okay.
Not that at all. Hello, all right. Don and Mike Show.
That's one of the dumbest ass movies out there. This is. We actually discussed it because we couldn't figure out how it ended. Me and some buddies of mine did.
Yes.
This is what we came up with. We came up with everything. Because remember when he was going through the closet and going through the home looking for all the bodies?
Oh, right. And there was the real estate lady in there.
Yeah, we came up with. It was all a dream. It was all in his head. He never killed anybody, but he was so messed up in the head. That he was just going crazy, and he thought he was killing people, and he thought he was doing this thing.
That's always, you know, whenever you have a situation that can't be explained, go to the dream scenario. That's a good idea.
Well, we all talked about it, because it's turning into something like the Bible, where everyone has their own interpretation of the ending. It's just such a terrible movie, and it has such good potential.
No, hold on. I beg to disagree. Except for the ending, it is a great movie. I mean, because the guy is just cold-blooded and happy about it. Like, he's walking around his apartment wearing a raincoat, holding a giant axe, discussing how much he likes Huey Lewis in the news, and right as he's walking up to cut this guy's head open, he's saying, for instance, Hip to Be Square is one of the great songs of all time. You really have to think about the lyrics. He just cuts this guy's head off.
Do you think that's in his mind? Or do you think he's really doing it?
I don't know. You should really rent the movie tonight. It's on the dish.
American Psycho. I will.
American Psycho. Tell me if you understand it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Jim. I was going to tell you, I read the book. I haven't seen the movie yet, but there's a couple of scenes. The one about the lawyer, he gets discovered by a taxi driver, too, where the guy actually...
All right, hold on. Don't confuse me with the movie, with the book stuff. I'm just...
And I'd like to make a request of our listeners. If you're going to call for somebody who hasn't seen this movie and you're going to do some explanations, I'd like not to use the word guy. Guy is just too generic.
And you know what? I'm as much as fault as anybody. I'm doing a piss poor job of explaining to you.
I'd like to see it though. I thought it was pretty well reviewed when it was in theaters.
Yeah, I thought it was real good until the last 5 minutes.
And so the name actor that plays American Psycho?
I never seen him before.
All right.
I don't know him at all. Hold on, what's this? Cast overview. The guy who played Patrick Bateman, okay, that's the psycho. His name is Christian Bale. You ever heard of him?
I've heard the name, yeah.
All right, I don't know. I didn't get it. I mean, I loved it. I love the fact that at one point he's thinking about killing his secretary.
Right.
And he walks up right behind her. She's sitting in his apartment. He's got this giant nail gun.
Right.
And he's about ready to just pull one right in her head. But then he decides not to kill her.
So he's a psycho.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's the American Psycho, right?
Don, baby, how's it going?
American Psycho. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Didn't anybody read the book?
No, why read the book when you can see the movie?
Book is so much more. They go into detail about how he nail guns this woman to some boards.
He read the book.
Please, did you see the movie?
Yes.
Did you understand how the movie ended?
Paul Allen is the guy that he killed when he has the raincoat on, and he's using his apartment to kill these people. That's why he thinks he's Paul Allen.
No, honey. He didn't think he was Paul Allen. He thought he was Patrick Bateman.
No, Patrick Bateman was his name.
Was his real name?
Yes.
When he went to his lawyer, he said to his lawyer, I killed Paul Allen. And the lawyer...
that's the guy in the raincoat.
The lawyer said to him, that's impossible. I had lunch with Paul Allen in London 10 days ago.
Okay, his girlfriend always calls him Patrick, right? His fiance, the one he hates.
Come on, listen, I'm just like... Watch this movie, and all you geniuses tell me if you can figure out what the ending of the movie is.
Good, all right, that's a nice assignment.
Because I could.
I'm looking for a good pay-per-view. Anything else on pay-per-view worth watching? Because there's been a drought for a while.
Anything's good on 596. I recommend anything on that channel at all.
Taking a little moratorium from that one.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, the be all end all of it is that the movie is just, it's a poor adaptation of the book. In the book, he's completely insane. By the end of the book, he's being chased by park benches.
Hold on, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about the book.
But it's just a poor adaptation of the movie.
I mean, the book.
I mean, yeah, the book.
Did you see?
It's insane. It was a bad movie. It was a bad book to try
to adapt.
Did
you see the movie?
Yeah.
Did you understand the end?
Yeah, but it...
All right, explain it to me. Hold on, explain it to me. I didn't read the book. I just saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the ending of the movie to me. Go.
Well, it doesn't... See, that's just it. That's why it's bad. It doesn't make sense. In the...
Thank you. All right. Thank you. See, it doesn't make sense. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Now, see, now I'm now I'm losing my motivation to watch it because if it's gonna nothing I hate worse than an ending that is
you should watch
no
it.
Don't get your hands around.
Watch it and tell me. I mean, the killing part is great,
right?
I mean, as far as a movie with lots of good killing,
scary too.
Yeah,
good,
yeah, real good. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
The end. Yeah, it's all about psychological. I mean, it was definitely in his head.
It's all about psychological.
Yeah. Well. The entire movie is about him being a psycho, and it goes into the entire thing is inside of his head.
Okay, so you're agreeing with the previous caller who was talking about it maybe being a dream sequence.
Yeah, it's because the
don't you think that they could have dumbed it down for guys like me who are apparently not as smart as you to figure out that it was all a dream?
Yeah, the entire way through it, you can see he was having hallucinations. Like when he went to the...
What? I'm not going to listen to a guy who says hallucinations. Please. Jesus.
Is he trying to say hallucinations?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Jeez.
Don.
Yeah.
Listen, it's not a hallucination. It's not a dream. Remember the movie, the business cards, and everybody kept having a better business card than he did?
Yes.
It's like he wasn't accepted in his little group because he had his little tight-knit group, all these little preppy guys.
Right. Guy. He said guy.
Okay, listen, forget it. Nobody can explain it. Homework tonight, please. Mike, Buzz, Rob, you all have the dish.
There will be entertainment value in this movie?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Yes. You'll love the Huey Lewis scene.
Very good.
That's all I want to tell you. And I've already given away lots of the best parts of the movie.
All right, good.
But come in tomorrow and you tell me, I watched this movie, I expected a great movie.
Right.
I loved it for 90 minutes.
Right.
The last 10 minutes, effed up.
All right, good.
And then it just ends with a close-up of the guy's face.
I think enough people have said that it's an effed-up ending that it probably will be difficult to, you know, figure out.
So watch it and let me know.
Very good.
Let me know what you think.
I'll do is I'll read the book tonight, too.
There are the touchstones. Get the Cliff Huxtable notes on it, though.
These are the notes for you on the website.
Let's clear these lines out now. Get a call 100. Oh, then I want to hear the tape of Robbie Spiewak.
Announcer extraordinaire.
At the Redskins game over the weekend. We'll get right into that. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, you should be coming on pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up.
What was that?
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Oh, man.
What is this stuff?
That's the trauma.
Doesn't that stuff cause brain damage?
Only if you take it, like, every day for a month.
Bitchin'.
Right, bitcha.
They can turn a bucket of crap into a bucket of cream. The Don and Mike Show.
There's one of those new bumpers. Yeah, I like that one. Time now for a call number 100. And it's you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, there's somebody who's very unlucky.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hola.
Hola. Call 100.
Right, what's your name?
Jack.
Jack?
Yep.
Jack. What are the off boys? Hi, Jack.
How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Where are you calling from, Jackson?
I'm calling from Winfield, Maryland.
Jackson, you won the Foo Fighters prize pack. Don't miss the Foo Fighters Foo for You concert.
That's a great band.
Live on Cox Cable pay-per-view Friday night at 10. Customers who order this concert will get a free poster from Cox Cable. Love the Foo Fighters. Great band, great videos.
All right.
Thank you. Hold on a second. Although my favorite video now is the new Blink-182 video.
I love that video.
Do you even know what the video is?
No.
Okay. Blink-182, you know the song's like, What's My Name Again?
Yep.
Okay. No, you don't. But anyway, listen. Blink-182...
I'd probably know it if I heard it, right?
They're naked in a lot of their videos where they're just walking down the street singing their songs naked.
Right.
In the new video... They have midgets.
Dwarves.
They have midgets.
Dwarves.
Little people. Midgets who look like the guys in Blink-182.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of the video, it's just the midgets standing up there.
Dwarves.
With the voices of Blink-182 dubbed in.
Yeah, it's a funny video. And that Jackass show on MTV, I saw another edition. that was funnier than the one where they had the crap in the Chinese food box.
When do they do the rebroadcast of that? I mean,
you know, who knows?
MTV, you know, somebody ought to tell them they ought to take a few lessons from HBO as to when to reschedule things.
I think you can catch usually a block of Jackass on Sunday night. It's normally a new episode and a classic Jackass.
Sunday night.
The one that I saw, it was based around one joke.
Right.
And the only joke was somewhere in Montana, they found a town called My Anus. M-I-N-A-N-U-S. My Anus.
My Anus.
So the guy, it was one joke, but over and over again, like going to the general store. The guy just goes with a straight face. So the general store is in My Anus?
Yeah, I'm laughing. That's one joke you can't go to town with.
How many people live in My Anus? And the woman says about 400. He says,
wow.
Do you live in My Anus? No. So you commute to My Anus every day. Yeah, I mean, it was just,
that's funny.
It was only one joke.
That's incredible.
But then, you know, and then they went to the sewage treatment plant in My Anus, and they said, is My Anus smelly? Is there a lot of sewage in My Anus?
Hey, you gotta go for it. You know, hey, the universal rules of comedy. Good for them.
I mean, I was absolutely just freaking falling on the ground. Okay, as we get to the Rob Spiewak tape, oh, let me tell you, this will be something interesting, not only to Redskins fans. You know, we base the show in Washington, D.C., but we're heard throughout America, and if you're a fantasy football player, you would be interested to know that Brad Johnson, I found out today, will not be starting this weekend for the Redskins.
Ooh, so that's very updated, because in the paper today, they said that he was going to still try, so we're going to have the debut of Jeff George.
Well, here's the latest on that. Jeff George was not at practice today with an unexcused absence. Now, what I think it is I've seen Jeff George's wife at a couple of games this year. She's very pregnant. They should tie buckets around her ankles because her water was ready to break.
Okay, so you think that might have been the reason?
So most likely Jeff George was off with his wife having the baby. However,
you always make a phone call, though.
What I heard, though, was Jeff George didn't bother to call, didn't show up today. So the Redskins, today, for the first day of practice for the game this weekend, all of the snaps at quarterback were being taken by Todd Husak,
the third-string quarterback.
Oh, my God,
that's a weird situation.
So if you play fantasy and you got Brad Johnson, get him the hell out of there. And if you get a chance to pick up Jeff George, get him. Because if Jeff George plays halfway decent this week, it's his job for the rest of the year.
Wow,
just
that's
like,
true.
Just like in Minnesota last year.
And, you know, Brad Johnson not only injured, but coming off kind of a subpar game for him.
Yeah, right. They played like a retard the other night.
Okay. That sucks that you know, you don't show up and then you don't at least make a phone call.
Right, well, you know, who knows?
I mean, I guess if you're on the way to the hospital, that would be a legitimate.
The circumstances, but all I know is I was told it was an unexcused absence from practice.
Right.
So the other guy was taking the snaps. Okay. The Redskins game this past Monday Night Football, you know, when I told you yesterday I had to meet Dennis Miller and see Melissa Stark and Bart met Adam Sandler. Well, a real highlight of the game was the fact that our own Rob Speedbump got the job back that he never deserved to lose in the first place.
Right.
The job as the clown on the field who announces the opening lineup.
I'm a fine clown.
For the Redskins.
It was a lot of fun. It was
the field
really
clown. Now, yesterday when you talked about this, you had indicated that you didn't mess up any of the names, but you said your voice was all over the place.
Well, especially what happened is when I got to the final job of the field announcer, and it's amazing. It's very cool. The whole game is scripted. I mean, even to the last announcement they do from the booth, and I had the job of field announcer. And the last thing the field announcer does is brings out either the offense or the defense of the Redskins. It was the defense this night. And at that time, it's so loud, and this is the first time I'd really been in the stadium for a game this year. It is appreciably louder this year. I couldn't hear myself.
Okay.
And so instead of trying to hear myself come back on the PA, I was just trying to talk louder myself. And eventually my voice, I think it was on Dan Wilkinson, it just stopped. It just went, no more. And it was like, and I did anything I could to make the noises.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty funny.
Two things about this tape. First, you should know that the guy who they fired this jerk-off fired disc jockey. The guy used to be a disc jockey, got fired.
Right.
Bruce Kelly.
He's up in the booth with Phil now.
The guy is just, he's a joke. What he would do is come out on the field, and I mean, he's fat, but he's not fat like me and not fat like you. I mean, he's
right.
Like Jim London fat.
Oh, really?
Okay?
Like big, silly fat.
Okay, he's gigantic fat.
Jim London.
JLF.
He would come out on the field before the game, and rather than just read all the stupid announcements, he considered himself to be a part of the game day experience. And I know I've railed about this guy before. He's the guy.
Yeah, you were talking about this for a long time, right. and then the paper picked up on it.
He would come out, and he would go, Washington, red! And he would hold the microphone out, waiting for the fans to yell, Skins.
Very
and it,
clever.
You know, and it was like some dumbass made-up cheer that this guy had, and nobody participated. He would, like, go, okay, end zone, let me hear ya! And then there would be silence.
Right, because everybody's, like, you know, opening their peanuts.
Right. You don't need a disc jockey on the field running around telling you to get excited. And he would actually get so mock excited
right.
that he would fall on the ground at one point.
You mean just going wow. into spasm?
Yeah, like, because he was such a big Redskins
his
fan.
His legs up in the air and stuff like that?
It's a bad move by the Redskins. You know, the fact that they retained this guy, it's an embarrassment. Because his job now is, he sits up in the press box. They took him off the field because when he was introducing the Baltimore Ravens, he said the Ravens fans suck.
And that was the big controversy. The Redskins were fined and
right.
all that.
Right. Now what they have him doing, he's up in the booth, and listen, anybody that goes to a football game, whether you go to a Redskins game, a Jets game, a Giants game, a Raiders game, you're there, you're watching the game, you know the goddamn rules. You know, on third down and 10,
yeah.
if the other team's got the ball,
right.
that's when you scream.
Right.
You know that. But for whatever reason, they've got this guy up in the booth where he gets on and he goes, hey, Redskins fans, it's third down. You know what that means.
So cueing them to make noise?
Yeah,
pretty much.
And it's backfired because the people in the stands are not responding because it's an idiot disc jockey.
Yeah, also, doesn't the league frown on that, too?
No, you can do
I mean,
that.
One thing if a player on the field is lifting his hands up to do it, but
legally, you can do it until they break the huddle.
Right.
You can say anything you want until the other team breaks the huddle. I'm just telling you, I think it's Bush League that
I think it's Bush to do it, yeah.
That they've got this clown disc jockey who's,
right.
who should have been fired outright because the guy was an embarrassment. But anyway, so he's up in the booth now. And he's doing just the announcements, telling the fans information that they should already know.
Okay.
So Rob's on the field, and I say to Daryl, Daryl Nichols, our former engineer, who's working the game, I said, the most important thing to get on tape is when Phil Hochberg introduces Rob A.
Yeah.
You know, because we've got that tape that we play every day where it says, you know, let's welcome Rob Spiewak.
Right.
Well, I wanted a new one. This was from last year.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
And I had a conversation with Rob before the game, and Rob was actually going to say, thank you, Philip.
Right.
I did.
So we were going to have a little
bit. Did he say take it away, Rob, again?
I believe the actual this time was, please make welcome Rob Spiewak from WJFK. And then
right.
I said, thank you, Philip.
And I walked into the booth, and I said, hey, Rob's out on the field. Great. Do we have that? And Daryl, bless his heart, he looks at me and he says, did you want that?
Oh,
and I said, yeah, that's what I wanted. And he said, I didn't realize.
Right.
And his hands were shaking and everything. Bless his heart.
Yeah.
That's why he's no longer our engineer.
Bless his heart.
And anyway, so we don't have Rob being introduced, but I think we have just about everything else from Rob.
Yeah, the intro, especially the player intro.
Yeah,
right.
On the field for Monday Night Football.
They've actually expanded the role of the field announcer. I got to do the no smoking announcement.
I'm
very pleased with it. I thought it went well.
So is this on Real 1 or Real 2?
It's on Real Number 1.
Real Number 1. Okay. And again, the funniest thing is if you're at the stadium,
right,
when you look up on the big jumbotron and you just see Rob's face.
Yeah, with that giant cranium.
It's the only TV in the world that can show my head actual size.
That's worth the price of admission. Okay, here's Rob A. at the Redskins game.
Are you ready to rock and roll tonight?
Scripted.
Are you ready to get loud tonight? That's what I like to hear.
Now, was that an ad lib?
No, everything in that up in this point is scripted. And one thing I have to say to Bruce Kelly, and it's a shame that he would try so hard to get the crowd into it, because I actually had the thrill of introducing Mark Moseley. And that's a big deal for Redskins fans. And they don't even care about that. It's
right.
Really impossible 40 minutes before kickoff to really get the fans excited. They get a little better as the tape moves on, but that's a tough crowd to
sounds
motivate.
Sounds like you're getting a little response there.
There's some, and it actually, it's a little better than it sounds here because the crowd's not mic'd.
So
there's some
it,
noise in
did
there.
Did it say on the script, let me hear you or whatever?
Let me hear you. That's what I like to hear.
Let me hear you. So that's written down, let me hear you. That's what I like to hear.
I got a great chance to work with, they've got a new on-field producer for the pregame this year. His name is Chuck, and he was really helpful, and
he's doing what you tell you. He's definitely, you are kissing enough ass
you are,
to make sure that they're going to bring you back.
Later on, Chuck said, you know, have some fun with it and relax and ad lib. And if I had known that, I might have been able to be a little more relaxed with it. But that's it's hard to relax when he says, all right, you can relax and you can relax in 10 seconds from now. You know, it's hard to decompress at
that
time.
Rob. Poor Rob. All right, but he loves doing it.
I do. Yeah. Love it.
All right, here he is. Let's get back to this.
Please note that smoking is not permitted in the seating bowl or in the restrooms. Smoking is only permitted in all open-air concourses on ramps throughout the stadium. And fans, play it safe while you watch your Redskins play. Use a designated driver. All designated drivers receive a coupon for a free Coke. And drivers 21 and older are eligible to win a fun pack from Budweiser. Sign up at all.
See, I'm not even going to touch that. The fact that the designated driver wins a fun pack from Budweiser.
I know.
Sure.
I know. See, who knew?
Okay.
Services location. Fans, if the Redskins return the opening kickoff of either the first or the second half for a touchdown, one lucky fan will win a 2-year lease on the Cadillac of their choice as a part of the Cadillac Redskins kickoff giveaway.
But they don't busy it up at all.
No, not at all.
And you, for the record, you love being the shill.
Oh, yeah.
You love
it. I love it. It's so much fun.
He loves it.
Today's lucky fan is John Willett of Springfield, Virginia. He's seated in section 111, row 26, seat 1. Good luck to John. And thank you to the Washington area Cadillac dealers for their sponsorship of Redskins football.
Now, this point, Rob's on the field. He's wearing his leather jacket. You can see his bald spot from up in the stand.
Not a bald spot. They have to cut a flat top really short.
Actually, it's a bald spot.
Not a bald spot.
And the stadium is maybe half full.
Yeah.
Okay, so how far before the game? How long before the game?
This is like 8:30, quarter till 9.
Okay. First cracked the mic at 8, I think 8:28, and it's a 9:05 kickoff. So there's a lot of people not in their seats.
Okay. Yeah, right. A lot of people are still in traffic. A lot of people are, you know, getting their food
right.
and drinks.
Right.
So, you know, Rob's out there to a half-full crowd, but he's doing his damnedest.
Right.
It's time for the Gotta Go to Moe's Kick Contest. Our lucky contestant today is Sarah McClanahan from Manassas, Virginia. Susan will be attempting 3 field goals to win valuable gift certificates from Modell's. And coaching Susan is Redskins legend Mark Moseley.
That doesn't make you feel too bad for Mark Moseley. You know what I mean?
Coaching her.
The guy was a goddamn MVP. The only kicker to ever be the MVP in the league.
Right.
And now he's reduced to coaching a fan who comes on the stand out of the stands to kick a field goal before the game.
And he's introduced by Rob.
And I believe he also provides some giveaways to her, too.
That's good.
Yeah. Good guy. Very nice.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And Mark Moseley got me before the game.
Right.
Came up and grabbed me and said, hey, how come you guys don't ever have me on your show anymore?
He said that?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh. I said, well, you know, the next time, you know, the next time you open up another French fry stand.
Travel agency.
I didn't say that to him. But
legendary field goal kicker.
The greatest.
Doesn't he have French fry stand?
I think he's in French fries and real estate, isn't he?
He's had a lot of businesses.
He should have a hairdressing place.
Had a travel agency at one point, I think.
Yeah, but I think his wife got that in the divorce, maybe.
Well, that's too bad. I didn't know. I'm not familiar with his bio since his playing days are over.
That was his part of the deal?
I think so.
So was he a good coach, Rob?
Well, you'll hear she did quite well, and he was. I actually talked to him before the thing. He was really nice. I've always been a big fan, and he's very nice.
All right, Susan, kick it away. Let's make some noise for her, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, was that on your script?
That was my first ad lib.
Oh, that was an ad lib. Let's make some noise for her, ladies and gentlemen.
good. Congratulations, Susan, on having won $250 worth of Modell's gift certificates, plus a Mark Mosley autographed football and shirt. And remember, for all of your sporting goods, gotta go to Mo.
Let's just go to the part where you introduce the players, because all you're doing now is reading commercials.
Okay. Well, what's the time on it?
Let's go to... I want to hear you introduce the Titans first. 358, 358. Because they purposely tell Rob when he introduces the other team to low-key it. No enthusiasm.
That was the first time when we had tape of Rob when he really downplayed the Chicago Bears. One of the funniest things I ever heard. Earnestiness.
Go ahead. And you do the same thing for the Titans?
Perhaps not as much. They just said no enthusiasm and move as fast as you can. And they sort of cue you as you go.
So now, at this point now, I mean... The fireworks are going off, the cheerleaders are out there, the band is out there, they got the Nimwits that are...
Right before game time.
They're
right.
Parachuting into the stadium, and at this point, Rob is in the middle of the hubbub.
Out there on the 40. I mean, it's a big deal.
And it's Monday night, which is, a little more excitement.
It was an incredible thing.
Our man, Rob Bay. Oh, and I understand that you actually had a conversation with Bruce Kelly, the fired disc jockey, who was...
He was...
Fired from this job also?
He came up to me, and he said, Rob... I said, yeah, I didn't know who he was. Hey, Bruce Kelly here. I said, Bruce, how are you? He said, have fun out there, man, and no matter what, don't say anything sucks.
That's funny.
So it could have been an awkward moment, but he was actually quite pleasant.
Don't say anything sucks.
It was kind of pathetic because Rob's out there doing it as a goof because he gets a lot of fun out of it. But apparently to this other guy, since he got fired from his morning radio show.
Do they give you any...
No, I wouldn't require it. It's
Did
just
Bruce
an honor.
Kelly get any?
I don't know.
No, I would
it's
imagine.
It's an honor to be out on
I
the
would
field.
Like, I mean, you're a name in the market. You ought to get a little something.
I think that's why Rob will continue to keep the job every week, because Rob will not ask for any money for doing it.
He loves it. He loves to be there. Fun. It's fun.
He loves it. He likes going to the games. Big Redskins fan.
Absolutely.
All right, here he is now.
Huge football fan.
Introducing the Tennessee Titans.
It's time to introduce today's opponent, the Tennessee Titans, coached by Jeff Fisher.
Now that's
and
what you want.
And the starting defense for the Titans. At defensive end, number 90, Javon Kearse. At defensive tackle, number 78, John Thornton. At defensive tackle, number 97, Jason Fisk. At defensive end, number 99, Kenny Holmes. At linebacker, number 51, Greg Favors. At linebacker, number 56, Randall Godfrey. At linebacker, number 55, Eddie Robinson.
You know, if the Redskins do graciously invite you back,
yes,
I would urge you for the next home game to tone this part down even more.
And I'm sure
like
they
the Curtis Enos.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Curtis Enos.
Right. I'm sure they probably agree with you. I probably will.
Yeah, you're a little too enthusiastic here.
I'm excited to be there.
At cornerback, number 25, Denard Walker. At cornerback, number 21, Samari Rule. At strong safety, number 23, Blaine Bishop.
Hey, good going with Samari Rule. Did somebody have to coach you on that name?
I had to double check, but yeah, I was right on it.
Oh, yeah, good one.
Samari Rule.
Yes, I wrote it out phonetically.
That's Esther's.
Hey,
button.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Esther Rule.
And at free safety, number 31, Marcus Robertson. And now.
Okay, now listen. Now. Heaven and earth is going to split wide open.
Of course.
Because now is when they shoot the goddamn cannons off. And
this is the same as the way he did it last time. This is when he goes into turbo mode.
And they play the Satan music, and I mean, they go all out with it.
Now, from what I could tell is in the stadium, you couldn't even hear me. Because I got off the field, and I was mortified that my voice did that to me. And I said, oh, my God.
All right. You know, Rob, I don't think it's your voice. I've been up there in the rafters up there, and it is hard to hear. Up high, it's hard to hear the PA.
And so it's really, there's no way to escape it on this tape.
Right.
But they said in the stadium it didn't sound quite as bad
sure
as it's about to sound.
All right,
here's Rob's big moment on Monday Night Football.
last name?
Smith?
That you're supposed to just say Bruce. That's what the Skins want. And that's the big deal in the same that apparently when he does a great play, it's that noise of Bruce.
Oh, so you don't introduce him as Bruce Smith?
No, I mean, they said you could say Smith afterwards, but, you know, just give him a big, loud Bruce. That's what they want.
They said you could say Smith afterwards?
I opted not to.
Okay.
This is so funny because it's Rob A.
I know.
That's on the field for Monday Night Football.
I know.
Rob A with his big, giant, oversized head on the field for Monday Night Football.
We were both waiting for the Smith there, but I guess if they told him to do it, he's doing what he's told.
Right. Do you get to introduce Dion?
Yes, prime time Dion Sanders.
Oh, I look forward to that.
Very good.
Okay. Almost.
And defensive tackle, number 94.
That's where it happened, and I swear to God, it felt like someone flipped a switch in my throat.
Rewind it. Rewind it. Gotta hear it again. Must hear again.
Sounds like it hurt.
Was
there any pain at all when that happened?
There was just horror.
It totally caught you by surprise.
I had no idea. I mean, and I heard it coming back at me, and it's like,
oh God.
My God.
God damn, that's great, Rob.
I know.
Okay, let's hear that again.
I want you to... And it's
play it again.
Can I have a take on that again, please?
You're not doing that as a goof, right?
No.
And then you went into some kind of falsetto.
That's all I had.
Does your voice come back?
That's the worst example.
All right, back it up.
We've
got to hear it one more time.
It's classic.
One more time.
Well, you said something happened.
Jesus, I didn't think it'd be that great, though.
I tried to warn you.
Imagine. Okay, let's hear it again.
Tackle number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson!
And you can imagine the look I get.
Oh, my God, you're killing me with this.
The guy.
You are killing me with
this. Chuck, the on-field producer, so cool, looks over to me like, he looks like I just fired a pistol. I mean, you couldn't have made him more surprised.
Defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson!
And he says, he sees me just like surprised, and he's surprised. He says, clear your throat! So I tried it.
All right, let's hear the next one. Let's hear the next one.
At defensive end, number 99, Marco Coleman!
All right, you're coming back a little bit.
Working on it.
Number 53, Eddie Mason. And linebacker number 50, Derek Smith.
That was another one, Derek.
Yeah, it was hard back there, I tell you what.
But you weren't sick or anything, right?
Did
you have a little throat thing?
I didn't feel real good all day.
Nerves. Okay.
And there was nerves.
Nerves.
And also, my mistake was trying to speak loud enough to hear myself on the field.
Right.
Not relying on what I thought was all right.
Linebacker, right. Number 53, Eddie Mason. And linebacker, number 50, Derek Smith.
It's like asking a Yugo to do what a tractor trailer needs to do. It was just inappropriate.
When you said your voice was all over the place, I didn't know that it was breaking like this.
Yeah.
This is great.
53, Eddie Mason.
All right, let's hear Derek Smith.
And linebacker number 50, Derek Smith. And linebacker number 56, LeVar Arrington.
You picked the wrong time to go through puberty.
Wow. I know.
Time to change. That's the funniest. You didn't sell it. I mean, it's fantastic.
I got to hear LeVar's again. Hold on, here it is.
And linebacker number 50, Derek Smith. And linebacker number 56, LeVar Arrington.
Bad time.
And cornerback number 21, Prime Time Deion Sanders.
Oh man!
And that's what I was shooting for.
Oh, yeah,
to bring a little levity.
That had to kill you. That really had to.
Really,
kill you.
It honestly felt like I had boiling water in my face.
Oh, God.
Oh no!
I I hear Dion.
Cornerback number 21, prime time, Dion Sanders.
Oh my God.
And the free safety, number 27, Mark Carrier.
All right, you came back on that one.
And that was good. And then there's like 8 more billion explosions, and the that's when the parachutists came down. And
oh, that's it.
That's me. That was my gig.
Oh, there you go. There's Ron Speedway. Just rewind it and find us the Big Daddy one. I think it was around 6:07.
And that was when you lost your voice and it completely caught you by surprise, right?
Yes. Great. I just want to hear
that. And it caught all of us surprised.
Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. That was maybe the best one.
We should have that on a card, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Buzz Robson.
You're welcome. All right, just stop it. Let me just hear where you are. I got to hear some of them over again.
All right. Could have happened to anybody trying to be heard over that noise. Yeah.
Big Daddy's coming.
I believe so.
Right.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
The funniest thing is when you correct it, when you do it with the falsetto, when you came down and, right. And you lose it, you think you got nothing there, so you go,
yeah, you got to do something. I mean, it's not like they're going to be able to wait for me. Number 94, Dana Stubblefield.
Oh, God damn.
So what have we learned? Bring a cough drop with you.
Oh, or something. Oh, Rob. You've done good.
You've done good. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. It's fantastic.
The Redskins know what's good for them. They'll invite you back for the next home game.
Well, I hope it does work out because they were just great. It'll be a lot of fun, and I won't push it quite so hard next
time.
There
you go.
And
absolutely.
Remember, Redskins, the best thing about Rob is you don't have to pay him.
That's right.
He'll do it for nothing. Well,
I'm the shill.
We're proud of you, boy.
And thank you, guys.
We will be Rob. Right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, they're quite willing to kill off nature, you know, for a cheap buck, and then, you know, and then just point the finger at somebody else for why the jobs disappeared.
Hey, Larry.
Hello?
Larry, wake up.
Yep.
Zeiger.
I'm sorry. I'm going to rephrase that.
He was sleeping. For those who serve. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. One of these days we've got to have a show. We just play all of our Larry King tapes.
That'd be great.
Tape of Larry drunk, all the tapes of Larry sleeping.
The sleeping tapes are fantastic. Larry farting.
Yeah. The Cooperstown tape.
Sure.
Cooperstown, New York.
New York is this place, my place, too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God.
Hi there, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to point out, the mental image in my mind with Rob calling that when Dan Wilkinson, with his voice cracked,
yeah.
Aside from the scratchiness, Kermit the Frog with his arms flailing wildly about him.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay.
I'm not sure I understand the reference, but
great observation. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, I understand earlier you're talking about the things that Mark Mosley's up to these days.
Yes, quite the entrepreneur he is.
Well, you know, he's also coaching, well now he's coaching along with doing a play-by-play for a local high school. He coaches a local middle school football team as well.
Well, that's good. Good for him. Nice to see he's got a lot of irons in the fire.
That's great.
Hey, well, he does. He stays pretty active in the community.
No, he's a good guy. He was just busting my balls when I saw him on the field. It was like, hey, what? Now that I don't play anymore, don't I rate a spot on your show anymore?
Oh, come on, Mark. You can come on this show.
Always.
Occasionally.
Always come on the show.
Well, it'd be nice to have him on. He's still a good person.
Oh, sure. Let me see. What would we ask him that's relevant? I know he wouldn't talk about his divorce. I know he wouldn't talk about his French fry stands. You know, what are we going to ask Mark Mosley, really? That's relevant today. I mean, if he wants to open up.
We don't have a lot of current football players on this show.
No.
We have sports broadcasters because they talk.
I mean, if Mark Mosley wants to come on and talk about his hot tub business,
mm-hmm.
but wants to tell us some of the good stuff about his hot tub business, or wants to describe his French fry stands, or I think doesn't he have a hot dog stand at Potomac Mills?
I'm not sure. He has. I know that he has been involved in a lot of businesses over the years, and I know that he is. I think very active locally because you always hear his name, and he's around doing different things. And he's welcome to come by whenever he wants to drop in. It's just you know what I think you want to avoid is kind of promoting you know, just a business, because that's really not all that interesting.
Right. Come and say, yes, you know, you did kick great field goals for the Redskins. How's your French fry business going?
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, I'd like to know what the deal is with, you know, his marital status.
That's always interesting for any celebrity.
Because I've seen him at plenty of Redskins games this year with girls who are obviously not his ex-wife. Okay?
That's interesting. So you can drop by and talk to him. We'll talk, we could all talk ex-wives.
Yes, we've all got them.
I couldn't legally, but we could all talk about divorce.
Yes, we could.
And what a horrible, painful experience it is.
So if Mark Mosley wants to come by to talk about that, he is more than welcome.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Mark Mosley's actually opening a new restaurant in Reston.
Well, see, there I go. Just talk about it, and right away, people are calling you with plugs for him.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the restaurant, but I guess you can't because you hung up.
You just hung up. Okay. All right. Well, good luck to him.
Yeah. Maybe it's called Mosley's.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Maybe it's called My Wife Got Half of Everything.
Maybe it's called The Perm.
No, not a mic.
His hair is straight again.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, I saw him at the 4th of July. I spoke to him briefly.
Maybe he's got My Wife Got More Than Half of Everything.
Ouch.
Maybe it's called I Don't Live in That Big House Anymore. I don't know. It could be a variety of things it could be called.
You never know.
Hello?
Dynamite, good God, poor Rabe. But didn't he butcher that woman's name when she was kicking the field goal, too?
I didn't notice that.
No, Rob said, Rob's shaking his head.
Go back and check the tape. Didn't he first start calling her Sarah, like Sarah McLaughlin, and then he switched to Susan?
No, it was all in the script, sir. It was right.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Check the tape.
Thank you.
Thanks for caring, though. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
You know, it's funny when you're confronted by the listeners, because in general, you're the listener's friend anyway.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don?
Yes.
Hey. Hey, what's the big deal about having to wear the diapers?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
For me, it's a big deal, sir. I have control of my bladder and my bowels, and
as it would be a big deal for me if I lost the bet. Of course it's a big deal to sit outside and wear an adult diaper. Sir, you wouldn't want to do it, would you?
I wear cloth and plastic pants.
You pardon me?
What? You wear cloth diapers and plastic pants?
Yeah.
Why?
My girlfriend likes it.
Come on. See, you're just a ball buster.
You're not a member of that diaper pail club, are you?
No.
We had them on the show one time. That was guys who...
The people that really do get a turn on.
Right. Guys who really got off by, like, wearing diapers and having their girlfriend spank them and stuff. No, yeah. 24 hours from now, I'm going to be in front of NEW at 888 7th Avenue wearing an adult diaper with my face painted in Mets colors.
With all those lively, wonderful people that sit out smoking their cigarettes out in the little courtyard.
I'm sure there's going to be some support for me. There's going to be some Mets support out there for me tomorrow.
Absolutely. So. And you should have like a parka close by so that, you know, during commercial breaks you can warm up.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I mean, who's your buddy?
You are, buddy.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, good, Don and Mike?
Yes, we are. Hello.
How you guys doing? I wanted to talk to you about Mark Mosley when he used...
What are you eating?
Gum.
Okay, take it out.
Take it out of your mouth.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Put it on your nose.
When Mark used to do... You know, you were talking earlier about how he does the warm-up for the halftime show, the kicking.
Yes.
Well, the first game, I was there at Carolina... It was for $500 or something, and the guy missed the first two and shanked them to the right. Then they had Mark come out, and he shanked two of them to the right, too, from like 10 yards out. So they won't let him do it anymore.
Well, he just did it Monday night.
Did he? Did he make it?
No, I don't think...
No, I was at the game. I don't think he did it.
Did Mark Mosley kick field goals on Monday?
Oh, they won't let him kick any.
Or was he just the judge?
He was like the celebrity, like, oh, you're not going to get your $500.
Yeah, he didn't do any kicking. The woman went 2 for 3, though.
No, I've seen him. I know what this guy on the phone is talking about. I've seen Mark Mosley at previous Redskins games when he actually comes out like as the Grand Marshal.
Oh, really?
And I did see him miss a couple of close field goals.
So is the thing now he's not allowed to kick anymore?
Well, there was a thought, and Jesus, now Mark Mosley's never going to come on the show. But, so be it. There was a thought that I had heard that... He's not kicking him anymore because he missed a couple of, like, 10-yard field goals.
So they told him he can't.
Yeah. I don't know if they told him he can't.
Or if he just stopped. He's in very good shape. I've seen him jogging. He keeps himself in very... I think he has a very He has a very sophisticated exercise regimen. That's what I have heard about Mark Mosley.
Yeah, I think I know what that exercise regimen is. Jumping on top of that girl.
Stop.
That's what I think it is.
Oh, no.
I've seen him with some hot women. Yeah. I really have.
Well, that's good.
You know, it's funny.
Huh?
It's funny the way things work out.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell Rob that I love it.
All right, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Super. I think that Rob A. did screw up that woman's name. I think it was Sarah.
Oh, listen, would everybody please just let it go?
Look at the humiliation the boy went through with his voice cracking, and he brought it in for all of us to hear. He knew that. He sacrificed himself. You leave him alone.
Let it go. Hello, and hey, Charlie Broyhill. If you're actually listening to the show right now, odds are you're not, but if you are, why don't you call Mark Mosley and see if he wants to come on to discuss his divorce or anything else or about missing field goals before the game?
Yeah, obviously he's generating a lot of calls.
Yes.
People are still curious. You know, he's an ex-Redskin who was in Super Bowls, who was very successful.
And I do know that we did just turn down his PR people a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
That he was doing an appearance somewhere, and they wanted him to come on the show to promote it. And as it turns out, we were full with people that day, so we said no. So maybe we could make it up to him.
And he could maybe talk about his new restaurant.
Yeah. Hello?
I wonder if it's going to, you know, what type of restaurant it'll be.
Hello?
You know, I mean, based on...
Carry out for the single man.
Well, I think for some of the other food enterprises he's had, you know, if it was a real restaurant, that would be...
Are you saying the hot dog stand and the french fry stand at the mall were not real restaurants?
Did they have seats?
I believe they had stools.
Or maybe they were in a food court.
Yes, absolutely they were in the food court.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely they were. Hello? Hello?
Only Mark can answer these questions.
This is true.
I'm waiting on you.
All right.
Yeah, come on. Hi.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are.
Yes. Leo from New York.
Hi, Leo.
I'm wondering why... sorry about that. I'm wondering why WNEW doesn't have anything on your website except the entry that says your phone number and to call between 3 and 7.
What do you mean? On our website?
No,
you mean,
on their website.
On the WNEW website?
That's correct.
I don't know. Buzz, pull it up. What is the WNEW website?
It's www.wnew.com.
A lot of W's there.
A lot of W's.
Let's see. Hold on. Buzz will pull it up right now, and we'll see.
Welcome to 102.7 WNEW Interactive.
All right. Scroll down. Do we have something you click on for this show?
Yeah, on the left-hand side, it says Don and Mike.
Right. And
click
there, and you're right. It's a yellow page. It says Don and Mike, weeknights 7 to 11 p.m. on 102.7 WNEW. Phone number 877-365-3636. Call between 3 p.m.
Right.
and 7 p.m. That's
click,
it.
Click on
That's
Ron
it.
And Fez.
See what they have. Okay.
Oh, the pictures and, a link to their site.
A link to mail.
Oh.
A link to their own website.
Sure.
Oh. Well, see, first of all, we don't have a website.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we don't have a website for our show.
And an instant feedback.
Sure you do. You got a Don and Mike?
No, we don't.
.com?
Yeah, but it's not ours.
No, that's like what just some real fanatics of the show have put together.
Oh, but it belongs to you guys.
No, it certainly doesn't.
Well, maybe a link to that wouldn't hurt you.
No, you know what? We don't want a link to anything that's not official. And frankly, we're not going to come out with our own official website until CBS allows us to put audio on a website.
Gotcha.
Because without that, I mean, what's the point? I mean, you click onto a website, you look at a picture of a disc jockey, and then there's nothing else to see.
Well, at least they could put your picture there.
Well, come on, do you really need to see what we look like?
I don't, because I've seen you.
All right.
Well, and then you know the great secret, that we are both horribly disfigured.
Right. You know, as we've mentioned before, you go check out the movie Elephant Man and check out the movie Mask.
And then we're interchangeable that way. It depends
on share.
It really depends on which one of us has a cold.
Right. All right. Thank you, Leo.
Looking forward to seeing you guys tomorrow in New York.
All right. Come down tomorrow, Leo.
You bet.
I'll be down on the goddamn street. See you
I
there.
Can't wait to see you on the can.
Leo!
Bye-bye. Yes, sir.
And yes, you know, NEW, I guess they should put at least a picture of us up if they have pictures of the other disc jockeys.
If you click on schedule, you see pictures of all the disc jockeys, including you guys.
I am not an animal. I am a human being. My name is John Bennett. Hello, Rob.
What, Robbie?
You want to speak?
If they're going to put a picture of you up, they should put up the pictures of the models you had the picture taken.
Yeah, that's right. You know what they should. Those two guys with their shirts off playing piggyback.
Having gay sex.
Hello. Don and Mike's show.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
All right, thank you. Wonderful. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I got a serious problem. I want to get your advice and see if you can give me the stop.
Right, yo, yo, yo.
I got a serious problem with masturbation. I just can't stop. I want to know.
That's not a problem, sir. That's 100% normal.
That's called a gift.
I mean, it's to the point where I'm doing it every day. I got a girlfriend.
Listen, I'm telling you, it's not a problem. It's a gift.
Every day is good. You're keeping the pipes clean.
Yeah, you sure?
That which is used develops. That which is unused wastes away.
Right.
Well, some saint said that.
Well, my friends say I'm sick. I got a...
Saint J.O. says that.
Saint J.O., yes, there you go. Saint Peter.
Saint Jack.
So you're saying it's not a problem and it's normal for a man to have a masturbation
problem? Are you pleasing your woman?
Yes, yes.
Well, then what does it matter? Don't worry about it.
As long as you're not caught.
Okay. Oh, well, she gets mad when I do it because I'm not doing this.
Well, you gotta do what I do. You gotta hide it from her.
All guys hide that.
But
come on, you don't sit in the kitchen, you know, beating your meat.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Mike does, but
yeah, absolutely.
Mike does, but he's the exception.
Only when everybody's out of the house, though.
Okay, but it ain't a problem if it was me or my girlfriend had a chance to do it to either one, and I'd rather pick masturbating. That wouldn't be a problem. Is that
no? Right? Sometimes you feel like being alone.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thanks for building up my courage, fellas.
All right, thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead, masturbate.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You want me? I'm getting ready to throw a movie in right now and do it.
Go ahead.
What's the movie you're going to be throwing in?
It's called it's called Dirty Black. Black Dirty, I'm sorry.
Black Dirty. Okay, go ahead. Do it right now.
Put it on?
Yeah, put the movie on.
That is gay. That you're winning.
It's not gay.
You win the gay award right there.
It's not gay.
Yeah, we're going to listen to a guy jail.
It's not gay. I'm just breaking down the third wall.
That's very gay.
I'm turning it right now.
I'm not telling you to stop, though. You don't see me telling you to stop.
Put the movie in and make yourself comfortable.
Okay.
That doesn't sound legit.
No, it's the movie. Okay, thank you.
Hold on. Wait.
Okay.
Go ahead. Just put the phone down and we'll time you. Let us know when you're done.
Okay.
How long do you think it'll take you?
Oh, it'll take me about... when I see this girl's face, I mean, the way she moaned, it'll take me about 5 minutes.
Five minutes. I want to tell you something. You're a bad masturbator if it takes you 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It takes me 5 minutes.
All right, go. I'm going to time you.
You want me to come back on the phone when
I want you just to...
Yeah, when you're done.
Set the phone down.
Okay.
Do it and come back when you're done. I'm going to tell you how long.
Let me get my lotion out here.
Oh, hey. God.
All right.
Oh, no. Guys don't make sounds when they do that.
I can't. It hurts when I do it dry. It really hurts.
All right, well, get your lotion.
Okay. I got it. I'm going to set my phone down, and I'm going to start.
All right, ready?
Uh-huh.
I want you to do better than 5 minutes. I want you to shoot for 2.5 minutes. Pardon the pun. Ready?
2.5 minutes.
I'm your masturbation coach.
Okay.
Go.
All right.
And the clock is off. I have to kill phone audio. What? What's the problem?
Fellas, I can't do it.
If you
I can't do it, fellas.
All right,
do it.
You can't do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We tested those boundaries again today, Charlie?
I know Charlie Braille just came in. He was about to shut that bit down.
Charlie's getting a workout lately, last couple of days.
But then the last minute, the guy backed out.
Yeah, that's right.
He's no masturbator, I'll tell you that.
I think if I'm correct, we couldn't get the phone. We can get any sounds of him doing what he was doing. That would be if the movie was okay, right?
Right, yeah, the movie was fine. For all we know, we were watching a horror movie.
Right.
Some girl being stabbed to death.
I was frightened.
I bet she was being stabbed to death.
God.
Stabbed in the ass. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell Rob, he wasn't the worst thing that happened this week, and I guess I heard on two different shows that the Raiders and the Chargers, who just hate each other, fans hate each other, they're thinking they're going to have problems. They didn't, but I guess they were scanning with the camera around the crowd, and one of the Raider fans, they caught on tape stabbing a Charger fan. So if you can get tape of that, that's got to be classic. Bonehead.
Oh my God! Wow. That's taking your football seriously. Hey, we're starting to get into that European soccer fan mode.
Well, you know the Raider fans. I live in NoCal, and I think they have like a 2-year minimum prison sentence before you can become one.
and frankly, I enjoy the Raiders, and I like watching them play, but I'm sick of seeing the one guy on TV, the guy with the Darth Vader hat and the helmet, and the guy who's got the shoulder pads with the spikes coming out of him.
Right, right.
I mean, that guy's on TV. Every goddamn Raider game he's on TV. I
was looking at that wonderfully in-shape man, Al Davis, on TV today, too.
I never get sick of looking at him.
Great answer.
This guy I'm watching that with says, did he get in a fight?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mark Mosley's a dirty diaper.
Oh, hey.
Al Davis got in a fight with life, Mike.
He did.
Getting his ass kicked by life.
Awesome.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're great, thanks.
Good. Do the words Liberace Gay mean anything to you?
Liberace Gay? Yes, he was gay. Oh, wait, now what the hell was that?
He may have been remarking on the masturbation demonstration.
The number of your last incoming call.
All right, get the number, Rob.
We get in touch with our
gay.
We
gotta call this guy back. Listen, do the words cutting edge radio mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Do the words comedy, goofing off, mean anything to you? Jagass.
Jagger. That's a new one. Jagger. J-A-G-A-S-S.
Listen, call in with your criticisms, that's fine. But don't run away.
That'll happen when that MTV show merges with the military show on CBS. You know, it'll be Jagass.
Now, leave a detail.
All right, come on.
If you'd like, you can page.
I don't want to page you. I just want to leave you a message. You just called me.
Thanks.
Jesus, thanks.
Tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Do the words pussy and runaway mean anything to you?
If you're going to give us a hard time on this show, you got to stay and fight.
And it's
and explain yourself. We don't understand what you meant.
And if Buzz's theory is true that you were calling about the Liberace gay because we were asking that guy at a J.O., I didn't notice you changing the station on the radio.
Yeah.
That you listen to it,
Mr. Man.
Right?
You.
Don't hang up on us.
Don't ever hang up on us. If you're going to say something that is controversial or confrontational,
be man enough to stay on the telephone.
Hang in there.
Because we get your number and we call you back.
And then we'll show you later on some of our favorite things.
All right, goodbye. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And that night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
I know.
You like creme anglaise?
Hey, you bless it. I'll eat it.
She's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think.
So what? No f***ing Dee Dee now?
Hey! Don and Mike, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go. But I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD. Because, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Here you go, the station break. Lafayette, Louisiana, KBOL 105.9 FM in Memphis, Tennessee. WWGQ in Green Bay, Wisconsin. WNFL. And in Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. Every day on good old WTL.
Soothing your severe buttock trauma. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we're trying. Now listen, are you ready for... Oh, hold on. Let me take this call. It might be a happy story. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I just wanted to call and thank you. You know, I work on the road and drive every day, and you make my afternoon, just a joy, actually, when I'm stuck in gridlock. But I wanted to thank you for getting my girlfriend and I together on our first date. You know, we talked about being big fans of the shows, and when we got back to her place, I wasn't sure whether things were going to get a little better or not. And I said, well, what more do you want? You and I both like Don and Mike. Let's get naked. And we've been together ever since.
And she got naked when you said that?
Oh, you bet.
Wow. Yes. Here's all I have to say.
He's a whore. Good for you.
Congratulations, sir.
Well, thank you very much. And, I mean, you really are a joy to listen to. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, goodbye. Get out of here. All right, now listen. Where are they now?
Yes.
Where are they now?
Mark Mosley.
Mike? No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were on the same theme.
Hey, and Rob, would you ask Broyhill, did he ever try to call Mark Mosley?
I will ask him.
Would you go ask him, please? I'll ask you guys, because Rob knows the answer to this.
Okay.
Who's the dumbest intern we've ever had?
Boy. It's Slow Andy.
No, dumber than that. Who's the dumbest intern we ever had?
I was going to say, in a sweet way, Alex.
Oh, Alex Cleveland?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Charlie has no contact number for Mr. Mosley.
Oh, all right.
Well, and I would guess for the dumbest intern, do you remember?
Well, you know the answer.
I know, but do you remember Lori?
No.
You made her wear an L on her her sweater. Like, she wasn't the brightest.
Like Laverne?
Yeah.
So, well, for my money, the dumbest intern was Joe Rockhead.
Oh, yes.
Remember?
Oh, okay.
Because, of course,
Joe Rockhead. And you're absolutely right.
He thought he was smart, but he was really stupid, and he always came in.
Indubitably.
Indubitably.
He didn't. He tried to use the quarter words, but he wasn't good at it.
All right, so he's an intern. He used to be an intern on this show. We used to have tapes. Joe Rockhead is an idiot.
Right, absolutely.
And even though he was a dummy, we're actually very fond of him.
Sure. We're fond of most of our interns. We've had some good ones, and we've had some bad ones, but they all end up being part of the family.
All right, so we get a press release here that says George Bush might be tied with Al Gore in the polls, but he's far ahead in the joke count. According to the Center for Media and Public Affairs, Bush has been the butt of more jokes by Jay Leno and David Letterman than Gore has.
All right.
And then it says, if you want more information, call this office in D.C.
Uh-huh.
And the name on the press release means nothing to me. But Rob got the press release and said, do you realize who Matthew Felling is?
Is it our Matthew?
And I said, I got no idea. And he said, that's Joe Rockhead.
Joe Rockhead working in this office?
Then he got a real job.
So it's some sort of public affairs office?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the Center for Media and Public Affairs.
We'd like to speak to Joseph.
Center for Media and Public Affairs.
Yes, hi. Is Matthew Felling there?
Yes, just calling, please.
Yes, hi. This is the Don and Mike Show, and we're on the air right now.
One moment, please.
Thank you. How did that mook ever get a job?
I thought that was him when he first answered.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Center for Media and Public Affairs.
See how long it takes him to say indubitably.
Hello, boys. Yes. I miss that guy. He was fun. You know, we had more fun with him. He was a famous intern because we put him on the air all the time.
Unlike Mike E. Rockhead, who was definitely the most hated intern of all time,
right.
Even hated more than Jimmy the intern.
Yes.
Joe Rockhead had a certain lovability about him. He kind of looked like Fred Flintstone.
Yes, he did.
And he
good evening.
There he is. Hey, listen, is this Matthew Felling?
No, this is the indubitable Joe Rockhead.
Right.
I gave George W. Bush some lessons on how to speak.
I can't tell you. We're going through all these crappy press releases here.
Oh, no.
And Rob says to me, we get a press release from the Center for Media and Public Affairs, and I'm like,
did Rob remember the name?
Yeah, and I looked at it, and I said to Rob, well, this is not worthy of calling on the show. And he says, look at the name on the bottom. And it says Matthew Felling. And I said, yeah?
It's Joe Rockhead.
He said, that's Joe Rockhead, our former intern.
How are you, Joe?
Oh, I'm doing swell, guys. How is everything out there?
It's terrific. Where are you, Joe?
I'm still a local boy.
Are you on the Hill?
No, actually, I'm near DW, like the Foggy Bottom neighborhood.
All right.
Isn't your full name Matthew Tate Felling?
Who said that?
Is Tate your middle name?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I don't know why.
Rob, how the hell do you remember that?
I remember that, Rob.
Still have it. No, just got it. I'll try to get rid of it, but I can't.
It's obvious that you're trying now to resurrect some kind of an actual career working on the fringes of politics, but I'd like to know, has the fact that you were once known as Joe Rockhead, has that helped you at all?
Well, you know, it changed my life, all for the better.
No, I mean, after you left the show. Like when you tried to go get this job at the Center for Media and Public Affairs.
Oh, you mean aside from the chicks?
Hey, do you put your do you put your association with us on your resume?
Actually, I do.
You do?
Very good.
Uh-huh. And I believe instead of intern, I said something to the effect of, on air assistant and contributor at the
time. Oh my God,
on air moron.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's in parentheses in really small type.
So what's going on in the life of Joe Rockhead now?
Joe Rockhead last year, and this has nothing to do with being a Rockhead, had to have open heart surgery at age 26.
Oh my God.
Wow. Why did you have to have open heart surgery?
It was the stress of working with us.
Yeah.
The show.
I stepped in the way of Mike putting one too many times, and the stress got the best of me.
Well, come on, really. What happened to you, Rockhead?
Actually, for some reason, I was born with a leaky valve. And the doctor said, you have a choice. You can die in 5 years, or we can cut you open right now.
Wow, so that had to be real serious.
Are you still as goofy looking?
If not goofier.
Do you still have your flat top?
Actually, no, I don't. I don't.
Well, I'd like to see that.
When and if the invitation ever gets extended, I'll come out and say hi to you guys.
Now, let me explain something about that, Joe. Interns are always welcome to drop back by, but we never invite. But they can come by at any time. Alex Cleveland comes by.
I'll invite you.
Hey, do you remember when Alex and I went out?
Alex Cleveland, that's right. You went out with Alex Cleveland.
Hey, you know what? She now works as a waitress at the Red Eye Grill in New York, and it's right next to the WNEW building.
Right.
And when we go up to New York tomorrow, I bet we get Alex as our waitress.
Right.
We're going to ask her if she remembers Joe Rockhead.
Absolutely. Well, I think so. I'm sure she does.
I mean, you guys flew her up to Boston, and I showed her, you know, the better sights and sounds of the city.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. Do you remember Alex Cleveland's special treat that she would bring in?
Oh, well, see, now you're getting a little bit ahead of me, because she came onto the show after I had already gone up to Boston, so I didn't get to hear a lot of her.
Okay.
Ah, well, it was her vaginal Rice Krispies treats.
Oh.
Well, did they replace your valve?
Yeah, they actually tossed some metal thing in, so I buzz every time I go to the airport.
Now, you really have a real job with the Center for Media and Public Affairs?
Yeah.
What is your title?
Well, I am somewhat of a media director and somewhat of a media analyst. I've been talking for the last 3-4 weeks about coverage of this election thus far.
Jesus Christ.
Unbelievable.
And I'm telling you,
who would have thunk it?
I'm telling you, when he worked here, he's the schmuck who went to 7-Eleven to get our water, and this guy could not do the most elementary of tasks.
I'm beginning.
Honestly, the other night, I thought of you two, because I was eating some strawberries. And I thought, gee, I've really made it.
You know, what is it about being an intern on this show? One of our interns now, a Hollywood producer, producing a hit TV show.
That's right,
out there.
Greg Garcia.
And now Rockhead, you know, director of this this office. I mean, do you get interviewed on TV at all?
Yeah, actually, I was on for the national affiliates, they wouldn't know, but I was on that local piddly news channel 8.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, I actually was on CNN.
Really?
A few times this year.
Oh, you know what? The next time you're going to be on TV that you're interviewed, you have to call us, because I swear to God, we would bust a gut laughing seeing you on TV.
Do you wear a tie and all that every day?
Oh no. But I do when I know that the camera's coming around.
Oh, very good.
Jesus Christ.
No, it's a great time, and it's a job not unlike the job that I did with you. I wake up, and I don't mind doing it, and I look forward to getting it.
How's your love life?
Love life, married.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Jesus,
this man has lived some life.
Everything changes.
God.
How long ago did you have to get married?
No, as a matter of fact, I was beginning to think that maybe I shouldn't at the time that I did it, because when the doctor told me about my heart, I was set to get married in 8 weeks. So they cut me open, and then 6 weeks later, like a big Frankenstein, I'm out there getting married and trying to dance.
I just want to say something. This guy has gone, I don't know if it's surgery or what.
The surgery has changed him. He's much brighter than he was when
anybody
he was
listening to this guy right now might think, you know, what the hell, Don, am I talking about? This guy sounds articulate. He sounds intelligent. He sounds
something
personable.
Happened. Was that surgery like from the neck up?
I'm telling you, when this guy was our intern, he was the dumbest. That's why we gave him the name Joe Rockhead. And we had a tape made that said Joe Rockhead is an idiot.
But he also would fall into the category as an intern who probably got the most airtime of any intern that was ever on the show.
Because he was dumb, but he thought he was smart.
And we used to love having him on all the time.
And when he would come in, we'd really piss him off. He'd always go, indubitable.
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 And now look at you. You're married. You got a good job. rehab. You have a new heart valve.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Well, listen, I can't take any credit for having found you. You got to thank Rob. Who even knew that that was your real name, Matthew Felling?
Yeah, I think the only time that we actually shared that bit of information was when I got arrested for driving without my headlights one night, and you read the ticket on air.
See, that's why.
Here's how dumb he was. He drove without his headlights on.
That's why we gave him the name Joe Rocket, because he came in and I got a ticket. What'd you get a ticket for? Driving at night without my headlights on.
It was a little bit of intelligence and a little bit of the glug glug.
Ah, yeah. yes. Beware. Absolutely. Beware.
Jesus Christ. All right. Rocket, hold on. Charlie just pulled your picture off the website.
Oh, no.
Terrific.
Take a look at a picture of him, Mike.
Oh, do I look like I'm taking a dump?
Yeah. There he is. God, you look so serious.
Oh, my God. With your new long conservative hair.
Joe Rocket. All right, Joe Rocket, with all the stuff that happened on the show, what is your happiest memory of being an intern on the Donna Mike show?
Happiest.
Yes.
That's funny. And then afterwards, you can give us your unhappiest.
Yeah, but give us your happiest first.
That's a good question. Happiest. The thing that I always look back at. I enjoyed...
All right, forget that question.
Strip trivia.
All right, and what was your unhappiest memory? And if there's more than one, you can lump them together. But if you could just pick one, what's your unhappiest memory about being an intern here?
The uncomfortable run-ins I would have with either Mike or Sherry.
Beautiful.
Hey, I'm reading here. Hey, Matt, I'm reading here, or Rockhead. Did you get your master's degree after you left here?
That's what did it.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's when you got smart.
Yeah, not a chance you had it when you
were... And I didn't know you were an Eagle Scout, too.
Oh, they put that up on the site?
Yes, they did. He's an Eagle Scout.
Joe Rockhead.
Why don't they just put on an altar boy while they're at it?
You had to know this guy. Anybody that's listened to the show for the last 5 years remembers Joe Rockhead.
Right, and I'm happy to know that I was part of your unhappiest moments here.
Oh, sure.
Very good.
I miss our long walks.
Our long walks.
But listen, he's turned it around. Mm-hmm. He's beaten the odds.
He has. He's survived open heart surgery.
He's made his life a pseudo success. And we just had to call to say, Joe Rockhead has now got a real job. Who do you think will win the presidential election, Rockhead?
Do you want my... The patter that I'm giving people like the New York Times?
No, your real thoughts on that, because Don and I have a bet.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that, ironically, George Bush will probably avenge his father's loss, and his father lost in no small part due to a third-party contender. And Gore...
Okay, we don't care about that crap, so you're saying that...
Yeah. Bush will win by virtue of Nader taking a couple off the top.
Yes.
Yeah. Bush. He's saying Bush will win, right?
I know. Who are we talking to?
Oh, that's right. Joe Rocket. Yeah,
that's right.
I was hoping to...
Like the world's biggest dummy endorsing my guy. I just figured that out.
That's
why you were happy that he's
very
Bush.
Absolutely, from the very beginning.
You know, Bush and I have a lot of things in common.
I am putting my eggs in the basket of the new retooled Joe Rocket.
Now, I believe that Joe Rocket, that's always been your political bent anyway, if I remember correctly.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not allowed to divulge such information. I have to be neutered every day before I come in here.
Very good.
Oh, God. Listen, I'm telling you, when the guy worked here, he was a dope.
Yeah, now he got a master's degree and he's got a wife. My God, what happened? It's kind of sad, actually.
Right. And her name is Shiraz.
Shiraz, and what catalog did you find her in?
Well, you know, toll-free, I had to go for it.
Good for
all
you.
All right, well, listen.
Honestly, you guys wouldn't mind if I stopped by? Something?
Not at all. Rockhead, you can stop by anytime you want.
Joe Rockhead, come by anytime.
Oh, especially Saturday, right?
Yes, Saturday be great.
All right.
During Goss's Garage. All right.
Listen, Rockhead, come back anytime.
Okay, great. Good to talk to you guys. I was wondering when my past would catch up with me.
Good for you.
Goodbye. Goodbye, you big dummy.
Wow. Congratulations.
There he is.
Wow.
Amazing.
Joe Rocket. I'm telling you, I'm serious. We would send the guy to 7-Eleven and say, get 2 bottles of Evian, and he would come back and he'd go, oh, I forgot what you asked me to get.
We'd send him down to the local convenience store to get a Diet Coke, and he'd come back with a puppy.
The guy was just an idiot. He really was. We loved having him around.
Of course. Yeah, that's the reason, too. But he has gotten smarter.
Uh-huh.
He sounds a lot more smart. Maybe it's not, you know, sometimes those traumatic experiences like heart surgery can change your life.
Indubitably.
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 And judging from the picture on the web, he looks a lot less like a Flintstone now.
Yeah, because of that hair, that ultra-conservative hair.
Looks done better for himself.
Oh, Rob, good call on that. I would have, you know, I would have just thrown this press release away.
Hey, Rob, remember the name. That's why Rob's got that oversized head with all the brains inside of it.
Matthew Felling.
Matthew Tate Felling.
A.K.A. Joe Rocket. Where are they now? Wow. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm sorry, but we're not supposed to put butter on the milk duds.
You're not supposed to go to the bathroom without washing your hands either.
Touché.
To the top, please. Swim, my pretty.
Yeah, the Simpsons Halloween show on tonight.
I'll always take you with me everywhere I go.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Now, listen, tomorrow we'll be in New York. I'll be on the toilet. Midtown Manhattan, 888 7th Avenue. Right in front of NEW tomorrow, about 4:30 in the afternoon.
Right, with your face painted like a Mets fan.
Yes, in an adult diaper. Tomorrow, enjoy, Mike. It's your day.
Yeah, I might as well, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that presidential election, but a lot of polls are, you know, pointing to your guy now.
Also tomorrow, a very embarrassing day to have my face painted, to be wearing an adult diaper, because Bonnie Bernstein, who's not a whore, from CBS, is coming in.
Very good.
And then Friday, I think we got I know we got the Jeff Bardee, and I think Nancy's coming in on Friday. Jim Nancy from CBS Sports.
Nancy.
But I'm really going to tell him how bad that CBS on NFL show blows.
Oh, boy.
This, you know, the NFL Today, whatever they call it.
You're going to do so in a nice way, though. Sure. You're not going to do so in such a way it's going to make him leave the studio crying, are you?
Well, you know what? The show's awful. The show is just awful.
But it's not his fault altogether. He's a pretty good broadcaster. It's just the show doesn't have a lot of direction.
It's partly his fault, though. He's such a dork. But anyway, we'll get into that Friday with him. We'll be up in New York for 2 days. We will be there both Thursday and Friday of this week. The important news, come on down to NEW. I'll be on the toilet tomorrow. Coming very soon, the return of Strip Trivia.
That, of course, will be our holiday Strip Trivia.
Yes, the Thanksgiving edition of Strip Trivia coming very soon.
Very exciting.
Now, listen, Stossel's here, but I want him to wait just a second. Maybe you've seen on the news this fat kid, this 500-pound football-playing kid.
I haven't seen him, no.
Okay, yes. He was on the Regis show this morning.
Hi, how are you? God, you fat.
This kid is named Rennie Nunes, and He plays football in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and he is 6'8", 5'30".
How old is he?
12.
No,
I take it back. No, he's a senior. He's a senior, so he's 17 or he's 18 years old.
12 is a funnier answer.
The kid, I saw a tape of him. They did a piece on him on SportsCenter.
He weighs 530 pounds?
Yes.
That's dangerous, isn't it?
They showed him on SportsCenter.
If you're under him.
And they showed him just kind of wallowing over by where the quarterback was. He plays on the defensive line.
Yeah, when you're that heavy, you obviously don't have, you're not an athlete.
No, and he just kind of made his way by where the quarterback was and just fell on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's getting all kinds of pub.
Yeah, probably easy to run around him, I would
think. I think he's hired a trainer to help him lose weight because he wants to play big-time football.
That's good.
And he was on the Regis show today, so we'll call now. I'm told that his mom is there.
That's good.
That he might still be at football practice.
I would imagine. I'd love to talk to mom, see what he eats.
But at the very least, we'll be able to get his mom on the phone to talk about what it was like to deliver a 530-pound baby.
Well, I'm sure he wasn't 530 pounds at the time of delivery. It's probably only like 200 or 300 pounds.
Last I heard, his football team had won 5 straight. And apparently he's contributed to that in the same way that
I hear that they're really eating up the competition.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is this Mrs. Nunez?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. We're on the radio right now. Did somebody call and tell you we'd be calling?
Yes, they did. But I would love that you would talk to my son direct.
But I understand he's not going to be home until after our show gets off the air tonight, right?
Oh, I see.
But are you proud of him?
Oh, very proud.
Did you see him on Regis?
Oh, but of course.
Yes. And what did you talk to your son about his experience with Regis?
If I had talked to him.
Oh, you
after
you...
he came? After he went there?
Yeah.
Well, he did come home before he went back to school, and he was very excited.
What did he say about Regis?
He loved the program. Him and his coach, they were very happy.
They're very happy.
Now, he is... when did he really start getting big?
Well, since he was born.
All right, so he was a big... How big a baby was he?
He was 9 pounds, 11 ounces. Nothing a normal, but he was a big baby, and he continued to grow.
I know that... I heard him say on the Regis show today that he wants to lose some weight, that he's
yes,
hired...
Yes, he does. We have a personal trainer.
Hired a trainer, but before he got in on this fitness kick, what would an average dinner have been like for your son?
Well, he has not started the diet yet. He hasn't started with... We're going to start when he finished the football season at the end of November.
All right, well then, like...
His normal meal is
yes.
Nothing abnormal. Like, let's say, for instance, tonight I'm going to make grilled fish. And you will have filet grilled. Grilled fish, and you will have potato, and you will have...
What type of fish is it? Is it a great white shark?
Yeah. No, don't
right.
think that, because if you see his friends eating, he probably gained the weight before, because what he eats now, it's not twice or three times what his friends eat.
Oh, really? Okay. Does he eat a lot of fast food?
Well, we don't have junk food. No, what we have is good meals, unless he goes out with his...
friends.
Right, with his friends, because every day I cook at home.
Ma'am, I mean, no disrespect. I'm sure that you do cook wonderful, healthful meals, but your baby boy has grown up to be 530 pounds, so there has to be some outside food involved. I was just wondering, on the occasions when he does leave and go out with his friends, like if he goes to McDonald's, how many hamburgers?
I don't know, because I don't go to McDonald's, so I haven't seen him go. But he drives. He goes with his friends.
So you assume...
once a week. But usually he goes to the Chinese food.
Ah, wow. Chinese food. Now, do you think that when he's not around you, that that's when he's doing most of his big eating?
Oh, he has his good appetite. I mean, I can finish giving him dinner, and right after, if I say, you're still hungry, you will tell me yes.
What's for dessert tonight?
Oh, no, we don't have dessert.
No dessert.
No.
Now, are either you or his pa large in carriage?
Well, not as big as he is, but we both could lose weight, too.
How is his health? Is he in good health?
Yeah, very well, very good.
His heart's good.
Very good, and we have
good
taken
BMs
for all kinds of tests and everything.
Thank you, but that's a valid question.
Yeah, about his BMs.
He has. We have taken tests of thyroid and of blood tests, and everything's fine.
And his stools are okay.
Oh, the school. He's a great student.
No, his stools.
His bowel movement. Yeah, very well. Yeah.
He's good. He has nice BMs.
Good.
Yeah.
We're always very concerned about the digestive health on this show.
When you mentioned your son gets in the car and drives himself around, I'm curious. For a guy who's 530 pounds, what kind of car does he drive?
He drives a Tahoe, a Chevy Tahoe.
Oh, a Chevy Tahoe. It's a good big car, so he's got plenty of room.
And now, is he popular with the chicks at school because he's the star football player?
Oh, he's popular. He has always been popular, now, even before he was playing football.
Mrs. Nunez, let me ask you something. When I know you make healthy meals, and he probably eats with his friends, but there must be some treat, some super deluxe treat that you make for him that he really, really likes.
Maybe only on a special occasion.
That's not really healthy, but can you share with us what's his favorite, you know, treat, that diet aside?
Well, go to an Italian, like lasagna.
Lasagna.
Yeah, which I think since he was born I made twice. But if I talk about Italian food, his eyes will lit.
Okay, he loves Italian food.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen him play football? Is he good playing football?
He's good, and he moves around.
He's good.
As a matter of fact, the personal trainer came Saturday to see his game, and he says, I can't believe, because you hear his size, you hear his weight, and you think that he can't move, and I can't believe at the end of 2 hours he's still running the whole field.
And I guess if the trainer gets him into shape, I mean, basically with being 6'8", that alone, he's got a chance to maybe, be a professional football player.
Well, he wishes for that, but his grades, like I said, are good. So he even if he doesn't make to be a professional player, he wants to measure in computer science.
What size shoe does your son wear?
17 wide.
17 wide.
Wow. Yeah. So he's just big. I mean, he's not only heavy, but he's big.
No, no. Even when the doctors have said, no matter how much weight he loses, if let's say, for instance, he can lose is like 100 pounds.
And
because he has such big bones.
Do you do his laundry?
Yes, I do.
Do you ever have to hold his underwear with a stick?
Sir, is this a radio show?
It's a radio show. We're just
because kidding. I don't like to talk.
No! Listen, ma'am, please don't be offended. I'll tell you that I weigh a little over 200 pounds
myself.
Well,
I understand that.
And
it's not my kind of talking.
Okay, but
when you're talking about underwear, I really don't like this.
Well, I'll tell you that the woman who cleans my clothes, our housekeeper, she actually does have to take my underpants on a stick.
Especially on hot days.
She's afraid to touch them.
Well, sir, I think we should cut the conversation because I don't like it.
Okay, all right. Well, we certainly didn't mean to offend you, ma'am.
Well, it's not being offended. It's just a matter of, I don't enjoy it.
You don't like the underwear talk?
All right.
No, I do not.
That's like a good mother. You don't like the underwear talk. That's fine with us. We completely understand.
But we're glad your son is doing great, and we liked him on Regis.
We're just a bunch of guys here. A lot of bathroom talk, a lot of underwear talk. We apologize.
Okay.
Did Regis have any special moments with your son?
I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet.
Okay. Regis didn't ask him about his underwear, did he?
Sir, look, I'm going to hang up because I don't like it.
Okay.
Did Michael Gelman? No, there she goes. Okay, well.
That didn't go terribly well.
All right, well.
No, that's, but I think we got all the information we wanted.
We sure did. And, you know, how come whenever you hear about one of these incredibly obese people, like this kid, or.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or anytime you see somebody like 400 pounds, they go, what do you like to eat? And they go, oh, salad.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's crap. You know what we've learned, though?
What?
It's okay to have a good BM, but no talk about underwear.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Please, gentlemen.
Okay. Well.
And he's having a fillet of fish tonight.
And he's only had lasagna twice.
And 2 gallons of tartar sauce.
I'm telling you, he's a big son of a bitch. I saw him on the Regis show today.
Hey, you know, I was serious when I said that. His weight with that shoe size, you know, doesn't have anything to do with it. That he is going to be big no matter how much weight.
Here's your gland. That mom should buy stock in Clorox bleach. I mean, if she does have to clean those underpants.
Sure, absolutely.
And imagine after practice.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
All right, to get out.
I said tough to get at.
The kid was not there. I didn't know if there was more to that.
I know. It ended rather abruptly, didn't it?
I thought it had a better ending than that.
We should maybe edit something on there like a...
There we go. That's a little better. And
you turned around and looked at me like you thought I'd done it.
The mom, I'm sure, wouldn't have wanted to answer the questions I really wanted to ask, like, you know... What's the biggest beefer your son has ever led?
Is it him? Does he spend a lot of time in the bathroom in the morning?
When he spends the bathroom, how long? Even in the dead of winter, do you have to open all the windows in the house?
How big is his father?
Yeah. When you're driving in the car, do you have a rule that if he has to fart, he has to stop and get out? On a date, has he ever crushed a girl? 5:30.
My God.
Jesus Christ.
But I'm glad they're starting the diet after November.
He's big boned.
So we've got Thanksgiving just around the corner.
Yeah. But remember, he only has fast food once a week.
Right. He goes out, eats badly when he goes out with his friends. He probably goes out with his friends every night. And mom's making fish again. Call him up, you know, get in the... I go down the dock. How was dinner? It was delicious, Mom. I'm going out.
All right. Well, his name is Remy Nunez, and well, he can probably hear us in goddamn New Jersey on WNEW.
Well, we wish him the best of luck and good luck with his personal trainer. At that size, you could
we do.
Make a hell of a lineman in the NFL.
And, Remy, if you ever want to talk about your underpants or anything, you know, call us.
On the Don and Mike Show. We'll make you a star.
And tell your mama we said hey. She was a nice lady. We thank her for her time. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see.
hate when people talk during the movie.
Who let the dogs out?
Proudly, down to only two herpes pills a day. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And we feel wonderful.
Yes, we are joined now by Chuck Stossel, the love muscle. Hi, Charlie.
Oops.
Hold on. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, there you are.
Hello.
Hold on, Charlie, before we get to your segment, and of course, you got jail mail today. You got more jail mail. First, the brain cancer guy's on the phone.
Uh-huh. The guy that we called earlier, is he? Yeah. I want to find out if he's the same guy that called us last week.
Let me see. Hello, is this the same guy who called last week?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it is.
Very good.
Then the letter says, at least it tells me this guy's called like about 10 times today.
Right.
Wanted to know if we wanted to talk to him before he takes his medication.
Ah, very good. Okay.
The letter says, Dear Don and Mike, hope you don't mind. Wanted to send you a letter to say thank you. I have cancer of the brain. 3 months left to live. Your radio show lifts me every day.
How could we ever mind that? That's the sweetest thing in the world. We appreciate that.
Well, I was kind of, I know you guys have got to, you got so many listeners, you got to get millions of letters. And I don't want to send you a book, but really, at the end of the day, I get seizures and things like that.
Oh,
and
man.
At the end of the day, you guys just take my mind off of everything.
Well,
I got like 90 days left to live, and you guys just make me forget about all that.
90. Now, who tells you you have 90 days left?
My doctors.
Oh, that's
the surgeons.
Your doctor. Well, you know, I'm sure other people tell you this, that you could beat the odds. You could live more than 90 days. Right?
I can hope.
Well, what do you think?
Well, kind of doubt it. Yeah. I have physical seizures, and it's embarrassing as heck, the whole deal, you know.
Have you had a chance besides listening to this show, is there anything else you get a chance to do that you enjoy?
Not a whole lot.
Are you confined to a bed? Are you confined to your house?
Well, I'm not physically restrained.
Okay,
but
so
the thing is, at any point in time during the day, I can have a seizure.
Could you get laid?
Well, I got a wonderful wife. I got that.
Oh, good.
So, are you still getting sex?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I have a beautiful, wonderful wife that takes care of me.
And I would think you'd probably be able to get pretty much.
Part of that is I really can't always get up.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, as long as you can do sometimes, that's good.
You could probably get just about anything you want, though, right, from your wife when you can get it up?
Well, she wants it quite frequently. I just can't quite give it to her all the time.
Well, you try. Right. You do the best you can.
All right. Well, you know, we get so many letters, and we don't know if people are goofing us or not. Good luck with your brain cancer.
But listen, thank you very much. And like I said, thank you for your show. You guys are the greatest, and you take my mind off of so much. Actually, I'll be honest, I didn't call 10 times. I called a couple times because I wanted to make sure before I took my medication that I didn't, you know, kind of.
Does the show get any better when you take your medication?
No, it puts me to sleep.
Oh, it puts you to sleep? Well, go enjoy the show now because we're going to read some of that nasty prison mail to Charlie Stossel.
Charlie Stossel always gets that stuff. And
yes.
I am so sorry that I was not here. I was at the doctor today getting another checkup. And yes, they're still pretty sure I'm 90 days down.
Well, we are definitely sorry to hear that.
You hang in there.
Thank you very much, Don and Mike, and all of you. You are the greatest show in the world.
Anybody that
could take somebody as goofed as me and get my mind off of things has got to be the greatest show.
Well, thank you.
You're very nice. One of the nicest compliments we've ever got.
And maybe you'll get some consolation by knowing that now we're going to talk to a man who has penis cancer. I mean, not really.
Not me.
But he might as well have penis cancer.
Well,
me?
He might as well.
Listen, it's as soft as your shirt.
Just play along, Charlie.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just trying to make the guy feel good.
Ouch.
Because, you know, Charlie had a long dry spell.
Yeah.
Before he met his new girlfriend.
Yeah.
But now apparently he's doing it like a rabbit, sir.
One more quick, stupid question before I hang up.
You go ahead.
Is it going to bother you guys if I, like, maybe call you one more time a month or so from now before I do finish this?
Sure.
You call us anytime you want.
Anytime you want.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Listen, you guys are the greatest. I don't know, I don't really believe if anywhere in the United States of America there's somebody higher than you, but if there is, they got to be kissing some bottom end, because you guys are the greatest.
All right,
thank you so very much for your show.
That was a very nice letter.
Thanks. Keeping my mind off of this thing.
All right, we can help you. Thank you.
If you can help me.
We can do. Thank you. We already do. That's great news. Right. Thank you very much, and give our best to your wife, okay?
Yeah. Listen, Don and Mike, give your best to your wife.
And listen, if you ever feel like being exploited, call Jack Diamond. Because, I mean, brain cancer is something that I think he's never had the chance to exploit on his show before.
Yeah. Take it and run with it.
And he would exploit for sure. Yeah. You guys are the greatest. Just another quick note. I'm sorry. I do have brain cancer. My brain doesn't always work. Just another quick note. You get a real short note because I know you guys get millions of letters. And I really didn't want to bother you. I just wanted to say thank you.
And that's why the letter was
really
so short.
I don't need to drag this out so much, and I do apologize. I guess I'm so ignorant.
No. Well, you know something? If you can wait to take your medication, we do have Charlie in the studio right now. We are going to talk to him about prison mail. All right?
And listen, if you do happen to pass in the next 3 months or beyond, come back and haunt Ken Stevens.
Could you do that for us?
Listen, doesn't Ken Stevens need me to haunt him?
Yes, haunt him. Haunt him endlessly.
Absolutely. And Jeremy Coleman, too. Haunt both of them.
Yes.
Yeah, and Jeremy needs me, too. You're not kidding.
There you
all
go.
Right. All right, thank you.
Love you guys. Right. Thank you so very much.
Go take your medicine, Tom.
Have a good evening, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
I mean, not much funny that we can say to a guy who's really got brain cancer.
You know, but we all believe now that that's a legitimate call, and that is the greatest compliment you can get when you do this for a living. That's terrific. It makes a lot of the other crap that you deal with in this job a lot better when you get that. And believe me, we get it from the other side.
Let me go to another Tom, another famous Tom.
Very good.
No, not the Tom you think.
Oh, okay.
Another Tom. You might remember him. We met him about a month on the show. Good old Tommy Hilfarter. Check it in.
Hey, Tommy Hilfarter, I'm the man we made famous. How you doing? he's
What's up?
Are you on your back right now?
I'm on my back.
There you go.
Tommy Hilfarter, you got one for us? Give us a real one.
I'm going to give you a real one. Hold on.
Here we go.
Listen, you never heard this. Hey, this guy farting. And they're real.
They are 100% real. He's getting it in there. And now he's going to let it go. Ooh, that sounded a little...
All sponsorable.
You know, I got to get him to come back down and do it on the show for us.
Well, didn't we say we're going to bring him to the next Las Vegas-style show?
How's that?
That was great, but I can't wait for the next Vegas show.
Very good.
That's Tommy, what I'm waiting for.
Hey, Tommy, you know what?
What?
Hold on. I want Charlie to just book you as a guest on the regular show.
I got a shout-out, though.
To come back and fart for us. Yeah, sure.
Can I give a shout-out?
Sure.
For people with the winter depression? Stumbox Company? Or Stumbox.com? Stumbox Company.com.
All right, that's the same thing my wife has.
She has to get
that box. Sure.
Wait, give it again, because we weren't sure whether you were saying hi to a friend. You were giving a plug for a business.
I'm giving a plug for a business. For
go
people
ahead.
With winter depression or SAD, which is seasonal affective disorder,
right.
Yes. You can contact the Stumbox Company, and they'll help you with their lighting needs at StumboxCO.com or 1-800-LIGHT-U.
Okay, now that you got your plug, give us another fart. Get on your back and give us the best fart you can.
Big, without, long, and loud.
Without a piece of defecation coming out.
Without a piece of defecation coming out, yes.
And we sure appreciate that, but then again, it doesn't matter to us. We're not there.
Yeah, let us know if you crap your pants.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
You broke the phone.
I'm a Hilfarter. Listen, not as good on the telephone as it was in person.
Yeah, I can't wait to get him down here live again. That'll be fun.
You got
to
see the guy on his back.
Amazing.
Legs akimbo and just...
Legs akimbo.
Legs akimbo. Farting his brains out. Okay, it's movie time with...
It's prison mail time. Who are we kidding?
Charlie Stoss.
You know, I drove through Hagerstown over the weekend.
You stopped and visit anybody?
No, I wanted to. I had a hankering to go to the...
You got a letter from him.
Outstanding.
And you got a letter from the guy in Kansas.
El Dorado?
Yeah, the Kansas guy really is freaky.
All right, we'll start with the guy from Kansas this week.
He's a regular... Oh, dear, is that a pentagram?
More drawing.
He's drawing you a picture.
Oh, and you did call it a pentagram.
Yeah.
Not a chain.
Yes, with a nice big skull's head.
He's good at the skulls.
Pretty.
Now it says, I'm not a devil worshiper.
Oh, no.
I'm here to draw these to make money, tattoo patterns and such. This one would go for $15.
Which one?
It'll probably make the trash can, but that's cool.
He's good.
Okay.
He does have talent.
So there you go. And here is his letter to movie man Charlie Stossel. Don and Mike, my radio gods. Hey, bud. Well, chucklehead, I hope my letter to Doc Harry's didn't have anything to do with you losing your sponsor. I mean, I only told them how I enjoyed their great food. Oh, and that we met for the first time there in the bathroom, middle stall, and how we had hot, passionate man sex.
It's the only kind you get in prison, you know.
Yeah. And would meet there until my misshapen, until my M-I-S-S, oh, my mishappen, and in... incarceration.
Oh, my mishap in incarceration.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He wrote M-I-S-S-H-A-P-E-N. And incarceration, incarceration is spelled I-N-T-C-E-R-S-A-R-E-T-I-O-N.
He's a fine speller.
I'm sure he is.
I don't want to get him mad.
But am always aroused to the memory of those crazy times when we were together, and thanks for allowing me to speak about Docs. Ha ha, not. Look at his ashen face. Ha ha. I did no such thing, chucklehead. I enjoy effing with you. However, you are way too high strung. You really need to read Dirty White Boys by Stephen Hunter. And it's not a white thing. Just read it. Anyways, I'm going to retire.
Isn't that his horror book that he wants you to read?
Maybe.
I'm going to retire with one condition. I can come back and pull no punches if you say or act totally stupid or start effing up my movies again.
That wasn't me.
Charlie, don't get a big head. You have improved. Thank you. I think you have taken my goof's way... too serious.
My goof's way too serious.
But that's cool. Scared you S-less. That was my whole point. No drawings for you this week.
Aw.
The enclosed picture is for Rob A.
Oh, Rob A.
Nice.
There you go, Rob.
There you go, Rob.
Rob, that's your
put
treat.
Put that in the fridge.
Rob A. is such a good boy.
Oh, no.
Rob A., can I get a prison whore?
No.
I'd like to dedicate that to Gar and Rooster.
Rob, I think you better give him one because he might get upset if you don't.
Hey, Gar! Rooster! Prison whore!
They are my cool friends.
Yeah, cool.
Are you... as are you guys.
That's right.
Does this mean you, chucklehead, won't write me? Send me Big Homo Joe.
Uh-oh.
He can teach me to be a better person.
I bet Joe can.
And Mike, you don't have to pay taxes in prison.
Okay.
Not that you will come to prison.
Well.
You, Don, Rob, Buzz, wouldn't never want that to happen to you guys.
You're right about that, sir.
But Chucklehead... oh, how I would turn you out.
I don't like that.
I think red and blue M&Ms are your color.
Story time's taking that turn again.
M&Ms are used for makeup with the cheap prison slut.
Oh.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, dear.
If you use eyeshadow.
Your friend, the pup, Tracy Don Harris, inmate number 55212. Hope this time you could read my letter, although my spelling needs work. P.S. Rob.
Oh, dear, he likes you again, Rob.
Could you do one more whore for me?
Sure.
My girl left me for another woman. Her name is Jennifer, a.k.a. Jen.
Well, I guess that makes her a Jennifer whore! You know what? It's good that he has three names. I like my prisoners with three names. Yeah.
They always have three names.
Yeah, right? Doesn't it seem that way?
The best ones do.
I think everybody, if you have a middle name, that your middle name is used when you get into the big house.
Right, well, that's good. He seems to really be excelling in his field.
And then the great news on the bottom, we'll call after Christmas.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, wow. There you go, Charlie. There's another one for your scrapbook.
Yes, save it in your collection.
And
thanks for the pictures.
The other letter, Charlie, comes from your you're an inmate in Hagerstown, Maryland.
Isn't this the one that's going to get out pretty soon?
And he writes, Dear Don and Mike, please. What, Charlie?
Did he send us his bank statement?
Yeah, I left that out. I just left that for you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'll be looking up.
Is that his prison bank statement?
You know, every week I edit out part of the letters that I think would be troubling to Charlie. And the prison bank statement that he sent us, it's too wacky to translate on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's a real spreadsheet.
Uh-huh. He can't touch something until he gets out of prison, this amount. He can use this amount. He has more money in the bank than I do, for crying out loud.
Well, what's his current balance?
Everything combined is about $1,400.
$1,400?
Yeah.
And it looks like a computer from like 1958,
yeah,
too. It's like that striped computer paper.
Yeah, right.
Paper
and the old
paper.
Computer paper.
I'm always sending all this crap to show that we have skills and can work when we get out. Well, good for him.
That's good.
Court-ordered restitution, mandatory savings deposit, postage.
Like deductions.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
his whole life there. He wants you to know his whole life.
I'm sure he does.
Well, you can be better friends.
I'll be going over this later on.
All right, here's your second letter from Hagerstown, Maryland. Dear Don and Mike, please find enclosed chapter 2 of my novel, Charlie's Life.
Oh.
Since Bathtub didn't like the first chapter regarding his mommy and enemas, I have fast-forwarded to shortly after the part in his life when his wife left him for another woman.
Here we go.
As Mr. 40 would say, please give me my props by saying my name and prison number on the air. All right. David Xavier. Prisoner 215-529.
Bob should announce these in his redskin voice.
Charlie's Life, Chapter 2.
Here we go.
As Charlie looked about himself, he found himself in an increasingly violent society. This violent trend in society, of course, reflected itself in Charlie's sex life. In Charlie's world, no secret vice is ever left untouched. No twisted desire unchecked.
Oh, God.
Charlie woke every morning to the sound of a bus arriving at the all-boy junior high school located next to his apartment building.
His apartment building.
After his divorce, Charlie had wanted a small place with no windows, a place where he could forget his loneliness and escape from the judging eyes of society. Charlie got out of bed, went to his closet, and put on the special outfit that always perked him up. How perfect am I, Charlie thought.
Dancing in front of the mirror.
Looking at himself in the full-length mirror in his closet. Charlie's wearing his favorite dominatrix costume. The hood, the black leather corset, which pushes his breasts up, forward, and out, turning them into warheads with their huge doorbell-sized nipples. And now Charlie lets his gaze wander down to his stomach, then to the black garter belt straps at the top of his black mesh stockings, which encase his plump thighs and bulging calves, down to his spike-heeled black leather boots.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
Charlie is now wearing his cape. In order to better see the rounded masses of his cottage cheese bare buttocks, as he turns and looks back over his shoulder. Now this, Charlie tells himself, is an outfit. Then Charlie puts on his long trench coat that covers his entire outfit, cracks a large bag of candy,
trick-or-treat,
and leaves his apartment.
Oh, God.
Walking towards the playground of the all-boy junior high school, a single tear rolls down his pale cheek. Why can't I stop myself? Charlie thinks to himself. Shut up and do what makes us happy. A second, deeper voice in his mind yells at him.
Shut up and do what makes us happy.
To be continued.
Oh, my God.
To be continued.
That was a good one.
Bag of candy.
Jesus. All right, there you go.
And he cuts it off right before it gets oogie. It gets really oogie.
Two more letters for your collection.
Good job. All right.
Hard to believe that these talented artists are making license plates throughout America.
Oh, they'll get out soon.
There's some really creative writing out there.
But again, for whatever reason, Charlie, they love you.
They do, Charlie.
All right, we're going to come back, and we'll actually talk about real movies with Charlie, which is why He's here every week.
That's why he used to be here. Now his reasons for being here are multifold.
You know, and it used to be for a while it was off the movies and onto his love life.
Right.
And now that he's got a regular girl and he's getting laid,
yep.
Now it's just, you know, one segment of your jail mail, and then you tell us what to do at the movie theaters.
I can live with this.
All right. Charlie Stoffel will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
Wearing their game day attire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, we're joined by Chuck Stossel now, our movie man. Charlie, before you talk about the new movie, I was discussing the fact that I had rented, Frieda and I rented American Psycho. Okay. Huey Lewis. Which I liked.
Yeah.
Until the end. Did you understand the end?
No.
So you didn't understand
it? No, I was busy laughing at the gratuitous violence with Phil Collins.
All right, wait. Just, and we did it the first time, but I want to enjoy this movie. And I had actually forgotten a lot of those gratuitous moments. If I'm going to do this for my homework assignment, I don't want to review the bad parts of the movie. I want to enjoy it.
No, he likes 80s music.
He likes Phil Collins.
And he analyzes it.
And he likes Huey Lewis. Okay, good.
And he likes Whitney Houston.
And he's good, the guy that plays the psycho.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
But you also don't understand the ending.
No, enjoyed the first, all but the last 20 minutes of where he was just chopping people up.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
And it was funny. It's Goodfellas, Casino, funny.
You'll like it. And tomorrow we'll have the group discussion.
All right, well, and
who understands the ending of American Psycho?
Based on the phone calls, I don't think I'll understand it either. So, I mean, I will.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, so, Chuck, what is new this week? Well, I know the movie.
Got two.
That Bart is dying to see. It's Charlie's Angels.
Shocker.
Right, because he loves...
It'll do a mint.
He loves Drew Barrymore. Yeah. He loves... Bill Murray's in the movie.
I saw Cameron Diaz interviewed today. She is just... You know, maybe it's because of something about Mary, but her character and the real person strike me as very similar. She seems like she seems like the kind of woman that you just like to hang around. I mean, she's foxy. She just seems very...
Yeah.
She's foxy.
Foxy lady.
She seems like the kind
really,
of lady...
Really, Grandpa? Is that what you think?
I'd like to have her back to the pad. I really would. She's foxy. She's a foxy lady. She is good looking, and she also just seems like the kind... You know how her character like goes out and plays golf and is real out, likes going to a game and stuff. I saw her interview today.
Watch Sports Center in the morning and have cold beer and pizza.
Exactly, that's what she seems like.
She got a Joker mouth though.
Yeah. I love her. You don't like the big mouth. You don't like Julia Roberts. You don't like Cameron Diaz.
She does have the Joker mouth.
She does have a bigger mouth. I think she's got a bigger mouth than Julia Roberts.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe it'd be interesting to see how many tennis balls they could both fit into their mouth.
You know, and who's the third girl? The girl that was in that
Lucy Liu.
No.
Bonnie Franklin?
With the big mouth. No, the girl who was in the movie with the bugs.
Kira Sedgwick?
No.
You love her, too.
She's got a big mouth.
She's got a large mouth, too, and she was in a movie with Julia Roberts.
What's the movie where they fly from Earth to another planet to kill bugs?
Starship Troopers?
Yes.
Richards.
Yes.
Denise Richards.
That's a
good
mouth.
You could get Cameron Diaz, Julia Roberts, Kira Sedgwick, and Denise Richards, and really have the tennis ball competition.
What you should do is rank them and turn them into nesting dolls, and they could each climb into each other's mouth.
Imagine that. They smile, and they all jump out of each other's mouth. Now, that's a movie I'd watch.
Nesting dolls.
All right. So, Charlie's Angels. You've seen the movie.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
It's what you would expect. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of Matrix-like effects.
Yeah, and that, for my money, there was too much hype about that.
Well, everybody is doing that now.
Right.
If you're going in there to watch a brilliantly made movie, it's not going to happen. If you're going in there to...
Hello, Angel 3. My name is Bosley.
David Doyle. If you're going in there to see three incredibly, and even Drew Barrymore, really...
She's sloppy.
She can't help but look appear unwashed. I'm sure that there was airbrushing, but she looks great in this movie.
How's her boyfriend, Tom Green?
He is clueless as he is on MTV. If you're going for a TNA show, it delivers. If you're going to see something that is just a lot of action, it delivers. You're going to be entertained, but it's a movie that will make a lot of money at first and will die off in about 6 weeks. Bill Murray's good as Bosley. He's,
all right.
But he is the comic relief, which is what Bosley was on the TV show.
How many porcelain dolls do you give Charlie's Angels?
You give 2.5. 3.5, it delivers what you expect, and maybe a 2 on an actual movie scale, so we go 2.5.
2.5. All right, what else is new?
Legend of Bagger Vance.
Okay. Where's the Dennis snoring sound effect? Okay.
Now I hate to disagree, but once again, like
it's because you're a fag for golf.
Yeah.
Fag for golf.
Yeah.
You're gay for football.
I am. I'm a fag for football, but no doubt you are absolutely gay for golf.
I am gay for golf, and but everything I hear is this is not a golf movie.
No, this is, and I'm going to use another Robert Redford directed film, The Natural. To kind of,
did he direct The Natural?
He did.
I didn't know that.
And Barry Levinson did. I'm sorry, but
Barry Levinson
was in it.
I'm not even going to see this Bagger Vance, but how did that is an insult to the great movie The Natural for you to compare
on.
This.
That's what he said. He said that to me a few weeks ago. He said this is The Natural of golf.
All right, look who's saying it to you.
Much in the same way,
okay.
How you didn't have to be a big baseball fan, and you knew, yes, it's potent. The Natural. I mean, come on, let's face it. The lightning strikes the tree, makes the bat that he hits great with. He gets shot. He comes back in the end and wins everything. It's very hokey, but it's so well made. You turn my mic.
No. It's just playing the snoring sound effect.
It's so well made that you don't care if it's hokey. The same thing here with The Legends of Bagger Vance. It is very hokey. Matt Damon plays a Georgia amateur golf champion who goes into seclusion after World War One. He's brought out by Charlize Theron, whose father owns a golf course. She gets Bobby Jones, old-time golfers, to come out and do an exhibition with Juna, the guy from Georgia, where the whole town of Savannah is going to back Juna. And the three of them go out to have this golf exhibition match, and out of nowhere, while he's talking, Will Smith shows up as this kind of ethereal guy who's going to help him with his game. You know you have a swing, everyone has a swing, and Will Smith is almost like the old grandpa in the movie, giving the advice, and at the last second, when he needs it most, Will Smith says, I need to go. You can do it on your own. And you know what's going to happen, but it's done so well.
Right, just like Pay It Forward.
Except he doesn't get stabbed at the end.
Right, this movie is going to tank. This movie is going to be a giant tank.
Want to bet?
Here we go. The last time we did this, it was
you want to bet? What do you think? There's no way this movie makes $100 million.
Oh, no.
Okay.
So, when do the opening weekend?
Opening weekend on this against Charlie's Angels with Meet the Parents?
Yeah.
What do you think The Legend of Bagger Vance will open at?
At least 10.
Oh, that's nothing. Come on, Pay It Forward opened at 9.
No. Well, yeah, but...
Come on, no. 10. I'll give you 10 because there's golf fags like Michael who go see it.
I resent being called a golf fag.
There's no way it'll do 20.
Oh, no.
And I think you don't like it simply because it's golf. I don't think it has anything to do with the boredom thing.
You're wrong.
Really?
I like watching Tiger Woods play golf. What I don't like is...
What don't you like about this movie?
The last time you had
this much passion of hating a movie before you knew anything about it was Titanic.
First off, it's a period piece. Okay, so then, you know, back in the 1900s, they're all wearing the goddamn knickers.
You don't mind period pieces if they're in the future.
I already know the plot of the movie. You know, Will Smith is going to come down, be the ghost-like figure. He's going to help Matt Damon win the golf tournament. Please.
Jack Lemmon's in the movie.
And great, Jack Lemmon is dead. I take it back. Walter Matthau's dead.
Walter Matthau's passed away.
The other one is dead.
It's
Do you hate this movie more than you hated Titanic before it came out?
Possibly.
Wow.
That's hate. Oh. Possibly.
That's a lot of hate.
If this movie makes $10 million this weekend, it's a disappointment. There's no way the studio can say
We
got Will Smith. Charlize,
I am hearing numbers between 15 and 18 that people think it's going to do.
I'd bet you on that.
Well, I'm not sold on 18. 15, maybe.
15?
Maybe.
You're on.
What do you want to bet? Do you a gentleman's bet? Do you want the pie or what?
No, I don't. I'll go for a pie if you want a pie. I'll bet you a pie in the face.
Okay, I'll do a pie.
A pie in the face.
You say the movie will do 15 on its opening weekend?
15 million.
No way. Not with Charlie's Angels and Meet the Parents. No way.
$15 million.
All right. Spend all weekend going to all your theaters, buying as many tickets as you can, but it's not going to matter.
Okay.
There's no way that movie's making $15 million this week.
I agreed with you the last time on the Titanic set.
I got to agree with Don on this. Okay.
As much as I like the idea of going to see this movie, as somebody who likes golf, and that's part of the attraction, it doesn't have that something that really makes me want to rush out to the theater.
Right. It reminds me of one of the first movies Freedom ever made me see when we first got married. What's that goddamn Meryl Streep movie where she had her face all powdered up white? The French Lieutenant's Woman. Yeah. This is the French Lieutenant's Woman for golf.
Oh, my
it really
God.
All right, and we got our bet. It won't make $15 million this weekend. Okay.
How many porcelain dolls?
Three. The strong
course. Three, of course.
You want a small pre? I saw Arnold today, the new Arnold movie.
Oh, and how does that look?
It's really not bad.
See, now that interests me.
Yeah. It's really not bad.
Because I'm a fag for Arnold. What?
You're cracking me.
Well, now we're talking. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
now
we're talking.
I'm sorry. Hello.
You used to get it.
I am next to Sam Huff. Excuse me, Mr. Elitist, and excuse me, Mr. Camp Counselor. I like to think of myself as Joe Average.
You are going
to
love Little Nicky.
Your average guy who doesn't care about what people think about his
movie choices.
And the guy who doesn't
love Adam Sandler movie.
Now, hold on. You're the guy who cares about what people think, what you think. Mike's the guy who goes to the movies for emotional experiences.
Yes, I do.
I'm the guy that goes to see things blown up and things make me laugh. And you're right. I'll love Little Nicky.
Yeah, you will.
I'll love it. It's right up my alley. And that movie will make $100 million.
Oh, yeah.
Dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And the Arnold movie will kick ass.
Okay.
It's Arnold, baby.
Yeah, end of days. Three words.
Arnold. He's back.
The guy, what was the Christmas movie?
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way.
He knows them all.
Sure.
Jingle All the Way. I've seen them all.
The lines dropped down the
door. You have seen all the bad ones.
And
you've
seen
every Arnold. I just realized you've seen every Arnold
Schwarzenegger movie.
Right. I go to all his movies.
But you appreciate the stupidity of Arnold movies, too.
The comedy is...
You go to a lot of Arnold movies, not just because you like Arnold. You go because you like to make fun of him.
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
So you get credit. I'm not going to let you hang out to dry on that one.
Don't forget about twins.
My name is Julius.
I'm your brother.
But it was funny the way you reacted this way. Arnold, now I'm interested.
Well, I am, and I think most people listening are. I mean, that's real movies. Arnold. How was it?
More better than I thought it was going to be. The beginning is stupid, but once the action gets going and Arnold stops talking, it works very well.
All right, and when does that open?
That's on, I think, the 17th.
And the other one I know you saw The Grinch, the Jim Carrey movie. How was that?
Fantastic.
All right.
I can't
but not for little kids, right?
No, it's great for kids.
Kids of all ages.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
My daughter, my three-year-old, got freaked out at the trailer.
No, take it.
Really?
Yeah. It's great.
Okay.
It's great.
All right. All right, there he is. The only controversial, Charlie Stossel. Remember our bet.
I will remember.
Remember, $15 million on Bagger Vance this weekend. All right, thank you.
I go shopping for pies.
Thank you. Movie man Charlie Stossel. I go shopping for pies.
Right.
Like you know what's happening. Please. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm a big winner in that bet. I'm a big, big, huge winner in that bet.
And I'm not even sure whether I'm going to go see the Bagger Vance movie. I'm really
and you're the target audience.
Yes, the elitist snob. The elitist snob that likes girl movies.
No. You're the golf fag.
You know, you called me an elitist a second ago. I fart on this microphone just as much as you do.
No,
I'm not an elitist.
When it goes to the movies...
I do go... What you said was I go for an emotional experience.
You do.
My favorite movies are movies that give me, an emotional experience. But I also like movies that have a lot of gratuitous violence.
You do that.
I have a wide spectrum of movies that I enjoy. I really do.
Like you, I'm very narrow-minded. I know what I like. I like shoot 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
I like farting. I like make me laugh.
There you go.
That's it. The rest of it, kiss my ass. Buzz?
Yes.
Oh, let's go over to Buzz for the news and the comments now.
You're okay.
And we know where Buzz lines up on all of this, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who goes to the art films.
That's correct.
Right.
Buzz and I both enjoy the Cider House Rules.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Nice movie. Did you ever see it?
Of course not.
Did you ever see it on pay-per-view?
I'm a man.
You might like it.
I'm a man.
Man can like a movie like that.
I'm a man. I watched American Psycho on pay-per-view.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I didn't watch The Cider House Rules.
I was just asking if you had seen it. You might like it. You might be surprised.
I won't like it because I'm a man.
I don't understand that.
I'm a man.
It's a movie about a man. It has lots of men in it.
Of course it does. That's why you guys like it. I'm a man. A man.
What is that supposed to mean, pal?
Oh, I think you know. You know what it means.
You knock it off.
You know what it means.
You get very passionate about defending your narrow-mindedness.
I do. No. And you get very passionate about defending your sweeping judgments about movies that have artistic qualities to them, but make no money. Okay?
I don't give an S if a movie makes money.
I do.
What does what a movie makes have to do with, like, how good it is?
That's the report card. That's like a guy who does a radio show that pulls a one share, but he says, you know what? The ratings don't matter.
Lawrence Welk, my grandmother used to tell me, Lawrence Welk makes a lot of money. I still thought his music sucked.
Huh? I mean, that's typical. You give me a Lawrence Welk reference.
Well, I mean, we're
talking about Little Nicky.
Money is not always what makes a movie.
Now, financial success doesn't mean quality.
There are a lot of crappy movies that made a lot of money.
Financial success is how you judge a movie's yes or no margin. That's it.
No, because there are a lot of movies that have probably made, Titanic made an incredible amount of money, but you didn't like it.
Well, I was wrong about that one. That was my opinion. I didn't like it. But, again, all you fags liked it.
If you want to call us fags for liking the Titanic and Cider House Rules, those are, you know, a lot of people, a lot of critics say that those movies are...
A lot of critics are fags.
And a lot of people like that movie, too.
What, Titanic? That's the one I'll give you. That's the one I was wrong about. That movie broke my stereotype because it made a lot of money. I'll give you that. That's one that crossed over.
You like the movie A Christmas Story? You love the movie A Christmas Story, right? That was released to theaters, and it was a financial bomb. Nobody went to see it.
I like A Christmas Story because they show it on TNT for 24 hours.
But you like it. Right.
And it's the
but
only
it's good,
thing.
Right? It's the quality. Like it. If you went to the theater and you saw it, you would have liked it then, too.
The Christmas Story is not an art film.
No, but it failed.
But it's a financial failure.
It failed at the theaters, and now it's embraced by all Americans.
But it's a comedy.
It's a wonderful
right.
life.
And,
you like that one? That's another Christmas one. Failed at the box office.
And furthermore, I would say that A Christmas Story is not embraced by everybody in America.
Okay.
Really, I don't think it's a mainstream film.
Okay.
It's a film we talk about because we watch and we enjoy.
Mm-hmm. But I also will tell you that financial success of a movie, I'm sure that you could find plenty of movies that you enjoyed that were not box office blockbusters. Is it the report card for all movies? I disagree with that, too. It's certain movies have to, you know, set a standard as far as financial success to be called a success, but there are also movies that, you know, they know that they're not going to make the same kind of money.
And a winner.
There's some good movies.
A winner, I like winning movies. That's all.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard you
it's
say.
It's not stupid.
It has nothing to do with whether you're a winner, what kind of movie you like.
Sure it is.
I'm a winner because I like a movie that makes money?
Yes.
That's silly.
I'm a winner because I like what the majority of people like.
Well, you didn't like Titanic.
I was wrong in one case.
So were you a loser then?
Yes. I was a loser on Titanic.
I'm arguing that point, but it doesn't make any sense.
You know what this is? I like anything that's commercial. I like anything that's lowest common denominator. I like anything that is just going to the theater and have a good time.
There are plenty of movies that are too dumb that you didn't like because you thought they were dumb.
Name one. Hot to Trot. Had its moments.
You hated Hot. You hated all the bad Bob Goldthwait movies. You didn't even... You were like on the fence with Shakes the Clown.
I like it better on video now.
But, I mean, if I thought long and hard, I could find a
movie. I know you could, but my general argument is that I battle for movies that are simply nothing more than mass appeal, crowd pleasers, that get crappy reviews, and the only people that go to see them are everybody in the goddamn country. That's it. Those are the movies I battle for.
Mm.
I think it's easy to stand up and say, hey, I like the Cider House Rules.
Hey, but I did. No, it's not easy to say that because you called us fags.
Well, call me a name. I don't know.
It doesn't matter to me because the only thing I care about is I defend when I'm attacked for liking a certain kind of movie. I don't care that you like the movies that you like. I think that's fine. But I don't like, I don't like being, labeled for, because I like...
Hi.
I like tons of movies.
Well, good.
I like movies that lots of people like. I like movies that nobody likes.
Good.
You cannot put me in a box on this issue.
Yes, I can.
No, you cannot.
Yes, I can.
There are too many movies that I have enjoyed.
Watch what I'm doing right now.
You're putting me in a box?
I'm doing the mind thing.
You're in a box.
You're in a box.
Your fingers over here put me in a box. The thing is, it's very, very subjective. And there are lots of movies that are dumb that I like, and there are lots of movies that are what you might call art films that I like.
Right, great. Because you're so much, you're more well-rounded.
I'm a Renaissance man.
Yes, yes, you are. And I'm just a slug.
And I'm a winner.
Okay, debatable. Subjective.
Winner. Big W right on my forehead. No, I have no idea. There's nothing. Watching movies means nothing.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. It's all... just what you like.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
You passionately attack some movies that I like. I don't passionately attack movies that you like.
You could.
I don't feel like it because I think you have a right to enjoy whatever you want to enjoy. Do I think some of your choices are funny? Yes. If you call that attacking, then maybe I'm attacking.
Hello, Highline.
Hi, Mike. Do you want me to help you?
No, absolutely not. I don't need any help.
Go ahead, honey. What?
Look. I was just going to mention some of the highest grossing movies that you might not have liked.
Like what?
Forrest Gump, number 6.
I hated Forrest Gump, too, though.
Yeah, but you're not arguing the point that you like the popular. You don't have to like them. You can like them or dislike them, depending on the movie, not on whether they were popular or not.
I think she's against me on this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Forrest Gump. I didn't like Forrest Gump. It was popular.
Right.
Okay. The people have spoken. I was wrong about that. And I was wrong about that one, too, because I didn't like Forrest Gump. I also didn't like Saving Private Ryan.
But, Mike, you're not arguing that you liked every popular movie. You're not arguing that you like movies.
Honey, Mike, Buzz, Charlie, my only point is it's easy to stand up and say that you, and I don't mean any one of you in particular, that in general, it's easy to stand up and say, I like the film that the least amount of people like. I like the film that's artistically pleasing, that makes me think. Yeah, but you're saying by saying that, you're saying that there's a methodology to picking the movies that I like, and there's not. I mean, I like what I like, and whether
I like crap movies, and I like crap movies that do great at the box.
But you like good movies too.
You said you like movies that get the good report card that are the most successful.
Yeah,
like Mrs. Doubtfire.
I don't hate Mrs. Doubtfire.
Like Saving Private Ryan.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind, one of your favorites.
Gone with the Wind, please.
How about Dances with Wolves?
I like Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, of course you do.
That's what I hate. That's what I hate right there. Of course you do. And you look down at me and you just go, yes, of course you do.
Of course you do.
That's it. Yes, I did. I liked it.
There's a lot.
I didn't like Waterworld.
Sugar Bear, whether you like it or not, you pick on what, not on their report card at the box office.
Honey, on this show, I'm sorry, I'm the lone voice that does get excited when an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie comes out. That's it.
No.
I could sit here like the rest of the guys and go, oh, Bagger Vance. Oh, that sounds...
I never did that.
That sounds wonderful. I'm not saying you did.
I actually said I thought I'm not going to go see it.
I know
it.
You did.
But I don't know. I might go see it. But I also, it just doesn't hit that chord, that particular movie.
I just know what I like, and I'm often mocked for the movies that I like.
Yeah, but you don't like all the successful movies. And that's what you said.
Generally, if you were to look at a list of successful movies, I like more successful movies than I do unsuccessful movies.
Well, sure, everybody does. That's why they're successful. But nobody likes them all. Hey, you don't like them all.
Who invited you into this?
I just heard Buzz and Mike. You know, it's hard to do it unless you have a list of them in front of you. And
true.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I don't have the list in front of me to back up my position.
Well, I do.
I'm just telling you, I like Eraser. With Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I haven't seen that one. So I can't judge that.
I like it.
But when you talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger, you also like Arnold Schwarzenegger because he's funny.
So dumb. Yes. And generally speaking, I just don't like flowery movies
that have a message to them. I just don't like it.
Well, let's see if how many movies Arnold has in this list that you say is your lowest common denominator that you love, right?
Yeah.
He's got Terminator.
I loved it.
Terminator 2, rather, just, and that's it. So in the list of the top 53, Arnold's got one.
What did you do? Did you go on the web?
No, I have all this in my brain. But of course I'm on the web.
Okay, well, I don't have the luxury of going on the web to find the movies that I like.
Yeah, that doesn't make you right.
Okay, in my mind, I'm right. Congratulations to you. You think you're right. Buzz thinks he's right. Mike thinks he's right. Charlie Stossel thinks he's right.
Yep. What about Charlie Broyhill?
Charlie Broyhill is someone, he's the only person in this history whose opinion I have no respect for. None. I at least respect the opinion of everybody else in this room. Because Charlie Broyhill's favorite movie of all time is Fletch.
Well,
yeah, that is true. That is his favorite.
The top 20 if you want to know.
What?
You want to hear the top 20?
You mean the top 20 grossing movies of all time?
Right.
All right, go.
Okay. Number one, Titanic.
Hated it.
I loved it.
And Star Wars.
Liked it.
Star Wars, The Phantom Menace.
Liked it.
I didn't see it.
E.T.
Liked it.
Loved it.
Jurassic Park.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Forrest Gump.
Hated it.
Hated it.
The Lion King.
Hated it. Never saw it.
I took my kid to it, but I didn't like it.
Return of the Jedi.
Loved it.
Didn't see it. Yeah, I saw it. I didn't. It was all right.
Independence Day.
Loved it.
Didn't like it.
The Sixth Sense.
Loved it.
Loved it.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Loved it.
Home Alone.
Didn't hate it. Don't turn it off when it comes on TV.
The original one where you put
right.
Something. Yeah, it was all right.
Jaws.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Batman. Oh, we know that one.
Loved it.
Didn't like it.
Men in Black.
Loved it.
Toy Story 2.
Loved it.
You never saw that.
You had the DVD sitting out this weekend.
I didn't like Toy Story 2 as much as the original Toy Story.
All right, keep going.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Loved it.
I would have liked it, but I got heckled in the movie theater.
And?
Twister.
You know I loved Twister.
I didn't like it because of Bill Paxton.
I did because Helen Hunt.
Ghostbusters.
Loved it.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Loved it.
The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Loved it.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
It was all right. I'm going to put it down as a like.
Ghost.
Like.
Aladdin.
Dislike.
Hate. Saving Private Ryan.
Hate.
Mission Impossible 2.
Liked it.
Back to the Future.
Loved it.
Spy Who Shagged Me.
Loved it.
Terminator 2.
Loved it.
The Exorcist.
Loved it.
Armageddon.
Loved it.
Gone with the Wind.
Hated it.
Indiana Jones and the Last... You never saw Gone with the Wind.
I don't have to know to hate it. Just give me the list.
I've never seen Gone with the Wind either.
I hated it.
I can't believe that. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Loved it.
Toy Story.
Loved it.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Liked it.
Gladiator.
Loved it.
Dances with Wolves.
Hated it.
The Fugitive.
Loved it.
Batman Forever.
Loved it.
Oh, here's one for you. Grease.
Loved it.
The Perfect Storm.
Loved it.
Liar Liar.
Loved it.
Mission Impossible.
Loved it.
Bert, turn off the oven. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Loved it. How many of these are there?
That's enough.
Is that okay. That's more than 20.
Yeah, that's like 45. The 45th right. One is Pretty Women. Pretty Women.
And I will tell you, out of the ones that Fruity gave me, hated, I have 7. Liked, I have 3. Loved, I have 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35.
Well, you should have loved them all. Because they were all big winners, and you're a winner.
Honey, listen, if I'm a Major League Baseball player, and I'm going up to bat 45 times, you give me 45 titles, and I like 35 of them, that's a good batting percentage.
If I gave you 50 and you didn't like...
Honey, please, listen.
What percentage would you say?
What, Rob?
You like 70%.
Yes, I like 70%.
That's not a big winner, that's a C.
That's a C?
A C, a grade.
A C as in?
A C average.
But think of a word that starts with C.
All right, sir.
All right, I didn't need your help today on this.
All right, I wasn't helping you.
I know you were helping everybody else.
Right.
Of course, why should you help me? You're only my wife.
Because I have to go see the sucky Arnold Schwarzenegger movies with you. I'm your date.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's your cross to bear.
Yeah, I
see them with you.
Okay. That's hard the deal you made.
That was broccoli. That was burning. Okay, thanks. I got to cook.
All right.
Okay,
love you.
Love you, too.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The broccoli's done.
I would tell you this. There's more at play there.
I'm aware of that fact.
Than simply my love of...
I know exactly what's at play there.
Right.
It's very awkward.
She's just continuing something that started on yesterday's show. She just can't let it go. All right, listen. You guys can like whatever movie you like. Who the hell am I to tell you?
And vice versa.
Right.
Absolutely.
There's some movies I don't like, and I just can't shut up about it. That's all. Too bad. Hello, Chuck.
Don.
What?
You mentioned you like Ghost?
Yes, I didn't hate it. I liked it.
That is definitely a fag movie.
Yeah, it is.
So then how can you bust Mike's balls about watching fag movies?
Because Ghost is not a 100% fag
movie. It is 100% fag. It's about someone coming back from the dead to go to his life.
Ghost is not a fag movie.
It's 100% fag.
It is not a fag movie.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it's not.
And I don't, you know, a fag movie and being fag for something are two totally different things.
Hello, Don, my show.
Yeah, guys, I got one crushing blow, and I was calling in because I agreed with Mike, because I like Cider House Rules, because you get to see Charlize Theron's butt in it.
No, you know what? Charlize Theron, and she was in Devil's Advocate.
You really want to see her.
She's naked, but the scene that he's talking about in the Cider House Rules is where they start down at her feet, and she's lying on her stomach in this, like, provocative angle, and it's the best butt I've ever seen in a movie.
Unbelievable. But Caddyshack, when it came out originally, was panned by critics and did crappy at the box office. I think we can all agree that's a pretty good movie.
And now I'm thinking about Lacey Underfall.
Yeah, right. That was a great movie. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right, goodbye.
Take care.
Maybe someone, maybe I've just wasted the last 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
Trying to make a point. But I think I like movies that regular people also like. And I don't like over-my-head period pieces.
Nobody expects you. You like what you like.
That's the bottom line.
I just, the only point I'm trying to make is that I like movies also that everybody else likes, too. I think everybody does.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, everybody likes, a lot of movies on that list. I'd have a good batting average on that.
I think you would.
I think that's the, and most blockbuster movies are like that.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
But they cross the line.
If you want to defend Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind is the greatest movie in the world.
You're a woman.
I love Gone with the Wind.
Hold on. This is the Cher lady.
Absolutely.
I knew it.
Okay.
Just wanted to get involved. You just couldn't stand it, could you?
I love Gone with the Wind. I base my life on it. I love it.
Listen, you can only call when you do Cher.
Give it a chance.
No.
Just rent it. It's a great movie.
Just do Cher.
I watched it. I hated it.
Vivian Leigh is my favorite actress. Okay.
Just do Cher.
I'll tell you a damn Cher. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Come on.
Oh, Delamore, oh, Delamore, do some come over me, run around this Sunday.
Sing the hit.
I have a cold.
Do it
if
like...
If I could turn that down.
Okay, thank you.
If I could turn that down.
He's a handful.
That's what we like.
Yes,
okay, let's go do a buzz now.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
He made it up.
Buzz, the biggest snob on this show.
That's right.
Buzz Burbank, what is your lead story tonight, Buzz?
Tonight, Americans consider voting for the less qualified candidate.
Which one would that be, Mike?
I'm all out, man. I am completely out.
I was hoping to start another argument.
No, I don't want to argue anymore about that.
That's a one a day.
I'd rather argue about movies than argue about the goddamn politics.
No, we've kept it together with the politics.
Right. The movies we really don't care about.
That's right.
The politics we do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike.
What's the word? We can't crack that.
Jizzy. The Don and Mike Show.
Time for news now with Buzz. You know, I was just, one of the sales guys in the hall said to me, like, want to have a serious discussion about movies with me? And said, hey, I kind of understand what you're saying, but let's talk about movies. One of the new sales guys.
Oh, really?
And
trying to be your friend?
Yeah, and I said to him, listen, hello.
I'm doing a show.
Yeah, we kind of tweak it up.
He said, well, what do you mean? I said, I don't care if people think I'm an idiot. I don't care if people think I don't know anything. It would be very boring to have four guys sit around.
Absolutely.
And all of us agree about what we like or what we don't like.
No, it wouldn't.
So the guy said...
Just kidding.
The guy said, so do you like the Spider House rules? And I said...
Was he looking at you like seriously to like get approval?
And I said, no, it's a fag movie. And he said, but you're not on the air now. And I said, some of the stuff on the air is real,
right.
And some of the stuff I'm tweaking up for the show.
That's right.
Jesus.
Come on, Mel.
He's one of the many new sales guys here.
Yeah, there are new faces here each and every day.
Right. And I don't know who it is, but I don't appreciate this. Whoever's using the urinal right now,
mm-hmm.
The problem, as far as I can tell, has not been the fact that they're peeing on the floor today.
Right.
But they're eating candy.
Yeah, and like dropping the wrappers on top of the urinal.
While they're peeing.
Mm-hmm.
There are candy wrappers on top of the urinal as you walk into the men's room.
And like three. You know, first there was one wedged behind the little pipe that feeds the water into the, you know, the pee thing. And then now there are two on the floor in the corner.
That's not right.
And we're not fags, but we can all agree on that.
Yes, we can.
Absolutely.
Right.
And flush. I mean, really, is it that difficult to flush? Because let me tell you why. I know there are a lot of people. There's certain people around here that don't flush the urinal, and I'll tell you what it is.
Charlie Broyhill.
They figure that, hey, it's pee, it doesn't need to be. Well, that's wrong, because every time you flush, that pee smell comes up in your face.
Yep. Amen, brother.
You're here.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
See, we're unified on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And flush, hit the target, mm-hmm. and don't leave your candy wrappers around the urinals.
Yeah, I mean, just throwing it right down there.
I mean, listen,
who eats in there anyway?
I was like, I like candy as much as the next guy. For what? You can't wait till you get done taking a leak to eat your candy?
Got
to
get that candy in your mouth. And what, I guess they're taking the right hand and holding it
mm-hmm.
while they're maybe one-handed undoing the wrapper.
Yeah.
Or... maybe they're big enough where they use two hands.
And remember, that same hand reached back into the candy bag.
Yeah, exactly.
On the second trip.
Yeah, take the black light to that candy bag.
Right. Okay, enough about that. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. This is amazing. A new poll shows that most voters believe Al Gore is more qualified to be president than George W. Bush. But that same poll shows that more voters plan to vote for the man they believe to be less qualified. The latest Pew poll shows that more Americans are more comfortable.
The latest PU poll?
No, Pew poll. It's a highly respected public opinion survey, PEW.
Oh,
like in a church pew.
Oh, you said
Pew.
PU. PU, okay.
No, the Pew poll. And it shows that more Americans are more comfortable with Bush. For the first time since July,
Bush
leads Gore in the Pew poll 47-43%. And even though Gore has a 7-point lead on the question of who's more qualified, a majority of voters also favor Gore on Social Security, health care, the economy, education, and foreign affairs. Bush ranked higher in just two areas, defense and ending partisan bickering. But here's the key to the whole thing. This poll, just out in the last hour, shows that one in five of us still hasn't decided which lever to pull.
You know what? That is the biggest
20%.
Well, I don't believe that.
You know, it's going to be interesting. If all the polls
mm-hmm.
go right down to the wire like
right.
they are right now,
right.
it will be historical
oh, yeah.
as far as, you know, watching this election coverage, because you're not going to really... Somebody... I heard some story that you might not know by the end of next week who has won, and there might be a tie
yep.
in the Electoral College.
It happened.
Be, but who knows? I mean, you know, you never know.
Yeah, it's going to be close. Al Gore has the lead in statewide polls in Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Maryland, Minnesota, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Washington State. And in the state and national polls that show Bush in the lead, that lead is generally equal to the support that's been garnered by Ralph Nader. Today, Nader refused to listen to that kind of talk. In Wisconsin, he told his supporters he'd hate to see either Bush or Gore elected, but he said, if Gore can't beat, and I quote, a bumbling Texas governor with a terrible record, then he ought to go back to Tennessee to his tobacco farm, end quote.
All I know is these people who are saying they don't know,
right.
they know.
Yeah, they know. And that's
I'm
why.
I'm not saying they do.
No, I really believe.
No.
I don't believe
I'll
these
tell
people.
You why.
I haven't believed the undecideds from the beginning.
4 years of this, we've known for 4 years the two guys that are going to run.
I think the kind of people that are going to walk into the polling place, by and large,
right,
have done it before, and you know, they might say they're undecided, but I don't believe it. I haven't believed it from the beginning.
The people who are on TV saying they're undecided, I don't believe them. But
right.
in this poll, that undecided not only includes the people who say, gee, I just can't decide between the two guys, it also includes people who have made a decision but aren't sure they're going to stick with that decision when it comes actually time to vote.
The thing is, those people know that they are influencing the poll.
Yeah, I think so.
Those people know by saying, I think I know, but I don't really know. They get to wake up the next day and get a boner when they open the newspaper and go, hey, look at that, huh? You see that?
I think people are going to walk in on election day, and you're probably going to get some kind of surprise.
Do you know who you're voting for?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Of course.
Right? We all know.
We know.
Everybody knows. Buzz, we're normal guys.
Right.
It just seems to me, if somebody's going to take the time to go in and vote next Tuesday, it amazes me that they haven't made a decision yet.
They don't. They
love they're going to walk in there, they're going to close the curtain and go, and then decide?
No, they love the notoriety.
Yeah,
they love it.
And the power.
Yeah.
They have the power at this point, especially with this race being so close.
You know, you talk about those people that are on TV, but maybe the people get those phone calls and think, maybe if I say I don't know, I'll get on TV.
Who knows? Well, there was the usual amount of mischief and misadventure this Halloween, but one case stands out. In the heart of Missouri, near Jefferson City, a young man was arrested after handing out syringes and condoms along with the candy.
Oh, Rob.
Actually,
here you go. Enjoy them, kid.
Actually,
Rob.
He just put the container on the porch and pulled the kid.
I can't win. Yesterday, it's no razor blades.
Right.
Today, it's no syringes. What do you want me to hand out?
Well, Rob, you just get caught all the time. You know? I mean, just tell him to keep it low-key.
That's too stupid.
Well, this guy in Missouri just put the container on the porch and told the kids, hey, just help yourselves. The sheriff says kids took a half dozen syringes, but...
Syringes?
The sheriff's not sure how many condoms they got. Parents are being advised to check their kids' bags.
Rob.
Here you go. Syringe for you. And a condom for you.
Rob.
Happy Halloween.
Right, Rob Speedwagon.
Rob.
Dan. I'm just as the announcer.
It's Rob, everybody.
Rob.
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 A nice big syringe for you.
Rob.
Neither Bill nor Hillary Clinton were home.
Bob's got to do this first.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. You done with the syringe story?
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Well, maybe they're right. The Don and Mike Show.
Adam Sandler. I love all his movies, too. But you know what? That's what got us so late tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The movie argument?
The movie argument.
Worth it. Helped in by my wonderful wife, Frida. That's when it really went to the next level.
Yeah.
You would think that the woman who's been married to me for 20 years would call in to help me.
Right.
No, she called in immediately to help Mike.
Hey, she was working you. That's why she was helping me.
Of course she was.
She normally doesn't call in to help me.
Of course she was.
Yeah.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
And you know why, Mike.
Yeah. When European ships pull into American ports, they bring more than goods from the East. They bring germs and bacteria that don't belong here. Germs and bacteria that never would get here if it weren't for the ships emptying their ballasts in our ports.
That's just my part of the deal with Frida.
The deal. You know the deal.
Yeah.
A new report from the Smithsonian shows that each gallon of that ballast water contains an average of 31 billion suspected viruses and 3.5 billion bacteria, including cholera.
Yeah.
The researchers took samples from ships arriving in Virginia and Maryland's Chesapeake Bay.
This is not the best water I've ever had.
Would you still use Napster if it cost you, say, just under $5 a month?
Yes.
Yesterday, Napster made a deal with one of the world's biggest music labels, and that deal will change the way Napster works. BMG Entertainment.
BM?
BMG.
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 All right.
Entertainment, which is...
BM Good.
I wonder how that 500-pound football player is doing. I'll be home now.
BMG is suing Napster for copyright infringement, and it refuses...
No, Buzz, excuse me. I'm sorry.
What?
That's BMJ.
Roaring by the entire field was Mercedes-Benz, which took first place.
with BMW. That's pronounced in English, BMW.
You know the Lydiaism I heard today?
What? What today?
Okay. Today he's talking about double entendre.
Uh-huh.
But instead he said, double entendre. Almost like Mike was doing his Bono impression.
Double, yes, yes, Buddy Holly.
Double entendre.
Double entendre, Donald.
He has his own way.
They are, sir.
This big record label suing Napster for copyright infringement refuses to drop the suit until Napster's restructured. Now, this deal also makes Napster part of the same company that owns BMG Records. The new subscription fee will cover the royalties paid to artists and songwriters and music companies. Napster says it has 38 million users. Let's see if that number gets smaller once Napster starts charging $4.95 a month.
Gotta do this, Busby. Right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me, and you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends, and that's it. If you don't like it, f*** you and your family too. Now let's talk about the game.
Tastier than a bowl of gas. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Look, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has taken a dive in the ratings. 21% fewer people watched the show in October than watched it in the first 9 months of the year. Just dropped right off. 21% is a lot of people, and ABC's reportedly worried, especially since it's scheduled the show for four nights a week in this new fall season.
Right? Michael, I really enjoyed the run. What are we going to do now?
Need a rub down.
ABC is worried because without Millionaire leading the way, the network came in fourth in the ratings race last week.
Well, really, Buzz? You mean the great Gina Davis show's not pulling it out for them?
It's just not happening, Don. ABC says it thinks the baseball playoffs and the new fall shows had a lot to do with Millionaire's dive.
Right. You know, I love this doublespeak. On one hand, ABC comes out and says, ha, look at Fox.
Right.
Nobody watched the World Series.
Right.
But then in the next press release, they're saying the reason people aren't watching our shows is because the baseball was on.
Exactly.
I'll tell you this. I think when the show eventually dies, it's going to kill Regis.
You think?
It's really going to kill him.
I don't know. Morning show's going strong.
Yeah.
The network says it thinks the show Millionaire will bounce back this month, thanks to another round of celebrity versions of the game.
But the celebrities are lame, and you're right, that once he loses his big show,
that's when he sees his own mortality.
Going back to do that crappy little 9 o'clock in the morning show.
Didn't he make noise about quitting the morning show and just hosting Millionaire when Millionaire was at its absolute pinnacle?
Right, when he foolishly thought that Millionaire would be on for like 10 years.
Now he's going to have to go and deal with those housewives every day.
He should keep that day job.
That's where this is Greensbum.
Here I am. Millionaire's off the air. I'm just going to be in this studio doing live for the rest of my short lifespan.
Daytime's where his power is. Is the Regis Morning Show refusing to run ads for Kathy Lee's new CD?
Yes.
We've already heard she's not being allowed to return to the show as a guest to promote her music. Now we read in the New York Post that ABC is refusing to run the commercial for the CD.
She screwed them.
The paper says Kathy Lee's people were shocked Monday to see that the commercial time they had purchased never materialized. They say the network told them the commercials had been denied and that their money would be refunded.
What the hell, Michael Eisner? Put a Yanni commercial in its place.
The paper says it's learned that Regis producer Michael Gelman has no say over what commercials do and don't run, but that his feelings were taken into account by the executives who do make that decision.
Hey, sir. Hello, Regis, it's Michael. Listen, pick up. We have something to talk about right now.
What's the deal, Michael? What's going on?
The fee is bought TV time on our show.
Oh, we can't have that run.
I need you behind me. I don't have the power.
Yeah, I'm behind you, Michael. Pull the schedule.
Okay, let's get Eisner on the phone.
Pull the schedule.
Get Eisner on the phone.
All right. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Eisner. It's Michael Gelman. I'm conference with Regis Philbin.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hi there, Michael Eisner. Hey, listen, we have a problem. We have a problem. You know the fee lady?
You can't be ringing.
Right, see you in Toledo.
Yeah, what do you
want? She wants to buy spots on Live with Regis.
You have a problem with that? Her money's green.
We have a problem with her because she's such a giant fee. Regis and I both feel that we just not.
What's the problem, Michael?
He's just not expensive money. Regis, back me up on this.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, Mr. Eisner, we really have to pull that schedule. She's a big C and she screwed ABC. You're absolutely right, she did.
pull the schedule.
Thank you, Mr. Eisner.
You're welcome, Gelman.
Mr. Eisner, you're home for Halloween?
Yes.
You give out on five streets?
No, bus size. But thanks for asking. Have a good day. Goodbye.
And that's how it happened.
Thanks, Regis.
Thank you, Michael. I'll see you later tonight.
I've got a bite size for you, Regis.
Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, Mr. Eisner.
Bite size.
I'm not sure how long it's been out, but Kathy Lee's new CD has, at last check, sold 20,000 copies so far.
And how many by real people, do you think? How many by Kathy Lee and her fan clubs, and how many by real people? Buzz?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Where did the time go?
One more, please.
A former guitarist for Third Eye Blind is suing his former bandmates, their managers, lawyers, and record label. Kevin Cadogan says the other guys conspired to toss him out of the group. He'll be in court in Oakland, California, Friday for the first hearing. Third Eye Blind had two multi-platinum albums, including the 1997 disc that featured Semi-Charmed Life. Cadogan says he wrote 14 of the songs on the group's two albums.
He used to be a rather large fan of Third Eye Blind, right?
I still am. I love their music, but if they're going to bicker like this, I'll have no part of them.
Thank you, Buzz. The Toe Tapper's right there. Time for a call 100.
Right.
And a prize package we selected especially for you.
Fantastic.
Good luck. Call us 1-877-365-3636. Call 100.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Show me breath. Yes.
They're off the hook. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, tomorrow from New York, I'll be on the street on the toilet in the adult diaper about 4:30. 888 7th Avenue. Come by and say hello. Yeah, see you then with my face all painted up in the best colors. Congratulations, Mike, who won the bet.
Thank you very much.
And now back to Buzz.
In sports, Washington Redskins quarterback Brad Johnson didn't practice today because of a sprained knee. Johnson was injured when he was hit on a pass play during the final touchdown drive in Monday's loss to Tennessee.
He won't start Sunday.
He's now listed as, officially, as questionable for Sunday's game.
Won't start Sunday.
That's what you found out when you were at the park today.
Won't start.
Jeff Who
told you that? A good friend of mine with bad skin. I had to know.
Jeff George, the $18 million backup, hasn't played a down this season.
Missed practice today.
Yes, he did.
Because his wife was having a baby, they think.
Hey, Don, who would you start? Who would you start? All right, we'll go with Jeff. He's not here today.
I said, well, then go with Zusak.
Okay, Don. Have fun in New York.
The NFL owners have chosen three future Super Bowl locations. The 2004 game will be in Houston.
Oh, yeah, listen, hold on. The next one can't suck it up. Houston's a good city.
Jacksonville.
Wait a minute.
Has it in 2005.
2006.
And sunny Detroit is the host in 2006.
What are they thinking?
Right. They're meeting at Atlanta. The owners have also voted to set up an eight-division league with four teams in each division. When the Houston Texans joined the league in 2002, the plan includes a new format that will require a realignment of the league. Commissioner Tagliabue says he hopes that issue can be settled by March.
I mean, Jacksonville's a nice town, and Houston's a nice town. I've been there before. You can party in Houston.
It's warm.
Yeah, but Detroit?
Detroit. When is it going to be in Houston? Next year?
2005.
Oh, 2004,
sorry. Right. 2005 in Jacksonville and Detroit in 2006.
Someone's on the phone. Hello?
Yeah, Glory Days is here.
Glory Days, you mean the food?
Yes, sir.
Right, well,
the food for the show that follows our show?
We'll make it your show, too.
No, that's okay.
No, it's too expensive.
Okay.
JP just told me they didn't want it. You can take it back.
He said it's not money.
I got money.
No. He said the food's not money.
Yeah, they said for some reason tonight they want you to take it back.
Well, I'll find a homeless guy out there.
Okay.
All right.
That's a great thing to do. That's a good idea.
No, okay.
So we'll pass it on to them that you gave their food to the homeless.
No, I just saw one of the junkies go running towards
the
door.
One of the junkies are running down. Don't take our food. Where are you, sir? Are you out in the hallway?
He's gone.
Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken is reportedly about to sign a deal with the Baltimore Orioles that would pay him close to the $6.3 million he made last season.
Glory hole.
The Washington Post says the contract leaves open the possibility that the 40-year-old could play beyond the 2001 season.
That's a restaurant that brings us our food.
Absolutely.
The Glory Hole.
Mm. Yeah, all your food comes to you.
Through a hole.
After 28 years as the general manager of the Boston Bruins,
Harry Sinden is giving up that job.
Hey, all right, good run, Harry.
And finally, in California, turn to State Farm Insurance for all your marijuana insurance needs. Some California insurance companies are now paying claims for stolen marijuana. In order to collect, you have to have a prescription from your doctor. California law allows growing the stuff for medical reasons.
Oops, sorry. That was my fault, as usual.
Mr. Allstate, where do I get for my marijuana claim?
Insurance companies are paying up to $500 for every plant that's stolen.
Joe, they stole it again.
A State Farm spokeswoman says the plants are covered by the homeowner's policy, just like any other medical item.
That's okay, Joe. Don't cry. Stop crying. Your policy will cover it.
But other insurance companies are not covering the plants. They want to know how they're supposed to tell if the plant was stolen or just smoked.
Uh-huh.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
Thank you, Buzz. That's it. We got to go. We'll be back with a new episode tomorrow from WNEW in New York. See you then. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah,
that's our phone.
Yeah, sorry. Hi, Don on my show.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling 100.
Yes, yes you are. What's your name?
My name is Bob.
Bob, where are you from?
From Silver Spring, Maryland.
Bobby, you've won the Foo Fighters prize pack. Tell Miss Foo Fighters, Foo for You, concert live on Cox Cable. Maybe you this Friday night at 10. Please enjoy it.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Customers who order this concert get a free poster from Cox Cable. Call 378-8888 to order. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bobby. Back tomorrow with the all-new episodes from New York. We'll see you then. Thank you and good night, Bud.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie, please throw your beret in the air. Just like Sydney. Tyler Moore. Those are better at the H&A.
I just saw the Legend of Bagger Vance played out in front of my eyes. With Mike and Ron, we will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.